The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday. It is March 23rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney issued a stay-at-home order on Sunday as coronavirus cases continue to rise. The order goes into effect Monday at 8 a.m. And does include some exceptions. Kenney said he didn't seem that people were taking his request to stay home seriously and that he wanted to ramp up the level of concern so people will get it in their heads that this is a serious epidemic and they need to stay home. He would not say specifically how it would be enforced by police. However, the changes in the new stay-at-home order include the city's emergency restriction no longer will end on Friday, March 27th, to align with Governor Wolf's order. The city's order remains in effect until further notice. Under the order's stay-at-home provisions, all public and private gatherings of any number of people occurring outside a single household or living unit are prohibited. All Philadelphia residents must stay at home or at their place of residence unless they are engaged in essential personnel activities that are spelled out in the order. Those activities include going out to purchase essential goods like food or seeking medical attention. Other permitted activities under the new stay-at-home order include caring for family members, friends, or a pet in another household, delivering essential goods or obtaining emergency services and attention, or reporting to a job related to essential business. Outdoor activities such as walking, running, cycling, operating a wheelchair are permitted under the stay-at-home order. The mayor's office said that this stay-at-home order is in no way impacts the delivery of food or essential goods. Truck operators who are part of the supply chain for food and essential goods should know that that if all guidelines issued by the CDC are being followed, they are safe to operate their trucks and make the deliveries.
Yeah, so if you look at like where the highest concentration of cases are in New York, they're obviously they're not in rural, you know, upstate New York. They're in Manhattan and around Manhattan. And the highest concentration of cases in New Jersey are northern Jersey, near Manhattan.
Yep. That makes the most sense.
It makes the most sense because, and I think what Kenny's trying to do is to stop people from just hanging on the outside, and, you know, on the street corner and doing the deal, trying to make sure that, because by their very existence, they're in tight. Yeah. And that sort of works contrary to social distancing.
And Philadelphia surpassed Montgomery County, whereas when this all first started, the cases were popping up in Montgomery County.
Right.
They called it the epicenter, but now there's more cases, positive cases in Philadelphia than Montgomery County, which makes sense in other cities.
Right. So if that can just be held to for a bit to tamp down on that, it would make a world of difference. And I think people say, well, you know, No, you're in tight on each other, and the likelihood increases exponentially.
By the way, and going back to West River Drive, it's MLK, right?
Yes.
They're being closed. So they did that so people can go there.
Yeah.
And you can walk on the road, and people aren't quite as bunched up, even though it's a pretty damn wide path anyway, but it is going to allow people to have a little bit more room.
You know, there are sprawling parks all around here where you can go out and hardly see anybody, you know, and go out and do the deal. I mean... Or just going for a walk in my neighborhood, you know, and just being smart about it. There's something so reinvigorating, like you're talking about the weather tomorrow, Preston. Just getting out and realizing, the sun's rising, the birds are tweeting and all that crap.
But the parks are getting crowded now.
Yeah. Did you see that? Like, they ran out of parking at Valley Forge,
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people have nothing else to do, and they're allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. So they're going there.
Go to the Pine Barrens. They just opened up a casino in there.
Chance to go see the state's park system.
Well, no, the state parks are closed.
Well, okay. Your community park.
Well, you can see them, Preston, from the parking lot.
Yeah, so Valley Forge is not a state park. It's a national historic park.
So it's opened.
So it's open.
But none of the facilities are open. Like all of the buildings, any of the restrooms, all of that is still closed. But you can go there.
No one uses them in the park anyway.
Seriously. So the mayor did make note, though. So they're saying that food delivery trucks are allowed to operate, but that does not include food trucks, like trucks that serve food and ice cream trucks. Those are prohibited.
Well, because people line up when they go to those.
Governor Tom Wolf again confirmed on Sunday that the enforcement of his order that all non-life-sustaining businesses must close their physical locations in Pennsylvania starts at 8 a.m. on Monday. An anesthesiologist, a teacher, and a food service employee are among the new positive coronavirus cases in Pennsylvania. Tower Health has announced that an anesthesiologist at Reading Hospital has been diagnosed with COVID-19. This individual last worked at the hospital on March 18th and in days prior participated in a number of surgical procedures and obstetrical deliveries. Officials say the anesthesiologist was not infected at the hospital. All patients and staff who may have been impacted by the exposure are being notified. Officials from a Montgomery County school district say one of their teachers tested positive for coronavirus. The teacher works at Abington Senior High School. Students and staff that may have had contact with that teacher are being notified, and they're being asked to self-quarantine. In Lehigh County, a food service employee who works at a nursing facility has tested positive. The employee works at the Allentown campus of the Cedarbrook Senior Care and Rehabilitation Center, but has not been on campus since last Sunday and reportedly did not have direct contact with the residents. The employee works for the food service provider, Sodexo. Employees who were possibly exposed have been notified and are quarantining at home. Staff at St. Mary Medical Center in Bucks County are asking for people to donate their unused N95 masks. Currently, the staff has an adequate supply of masks. However, they are collecting more masks as COVID-19 continues to spread. Emergency room doctor and president of St. Mary's, Lawrence Brilliant, said that the virus is spreading by droplets when you sneeze or cough onto a surface. It's when you touch that surface and then you place your hand in your mouth, you could potentially get infected with the virus. So wearing a mask out in public is not helpful because it's not aerosolized environment, he said. In the hospital, however, we are dealing with this environment where we have patients on ventilators and we could be spraying the virus. Dr. Brilliant said that that's why it's important for the community to bring their unused N95 masks so that the doctors and nurses can have an adequate supply. Staff said that they are also collecting respirators as well. Dr. Brilliant also wanted to make it clear that if people are having a true medical emergency, that they can still come to the hospital. Although the medical center is dealing with coronavirus, they are also here to serve the basic needs of the community. Nurses plan to be outside St. Mary's for the rest of the week collecting masks from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. In sports this morning. Canada won't send athletes to the Olympics in Tokyo unless the games are postponed by 1 year, the country's Olympic Committee announced last night.
What the f*** is this?
In a statement, the Canadian Olympic Committee said, while we recognize the inherent complexities around the postponement, nothing is more important than the health and safety of our athletes and the world community. This is not solely about athlete health, it's about public health. The committee also said it will be willing to help search for alternatives, but that it was not safe for athletes, their families, and the broader Canadian community for athletes to continue training for these games. The International Olympic Committee will make a decision whether to postpone the 2020 Tokyo Games at some point in the next few weeks. The IOC will, in full coordination and partnership with the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee, the Japanese authorities, and the Tokyo Metropolitan Government, start detailed discussions to complete its assessment of the rapid development of the worldwide health situation and its impact on the Olympic Games, including the scenario of postponement. The statement is the first one on the record from the IOC affirming that the Olympics could be postponed despite weeks of strong assurances that the game would go forward as planned in July.
Are the Olympics something traditionally that you have to train for?
New Eagles cornerback Darius Slay said that he plans to switch to number 24 with his new team to honor the late Kobe Bryant. Slay was traded last week by the Lions to the Eagles and wore 23 the past six seasons in Detroit. In an Instagram live video, Slay announced that he wants to wear 24 and that the number is available. And former Eagles receiver Nelson Aguilar has found a new home and is heading to the Las Vegas Raiders. 26-year-old Aguilar signed a one-year deal with his new team during his 5 years in Philadelphia. He had an up-and-down career with more down seasons than good ones, but in 2017, he had his best season and was a big piece of the team that won the Super Bowl. And that's what I have for you this morning.
It's funny that you mentioned, Kathy, you know, Kobe. And since we have these restrictions in the pandemic, Kobe seems like a year ago.
I know, Preston, I was thinking the same thing. If you think about, you know, look, Harvey Weinstein, for crying out loud.
Same thing I was going to bring up, exactly.
I mean, right? So it's amazing. So always remember, there's always something waiting in the wings.
Yeah. But it is caused time to warp a little bit.
Yes.
We're out of our routines. And things, we've slowed things way down, so it's a tad bit odd. But hey, listen, we're here, and we're working on some stuff here. So today's going to be an interesting day in an event like all businesses are right now to try to thin out as much as possible and keep contact to a minimum. Not everybody is in the studio today, and it may continue to go in that direction. It all depends on engineering and equipment and how we can work stuff out. So we're going to try something out in the next couple days and see how it works. So me and Steve and Casey and Kathy are here in the studio. Marissa is at home.
Yep.
And Nick McElwain is at home, but we might, through the magic of technology, be able to link up with Nick right now. I'm hitting this button, I'm turning this fader up, and let's see if we get Nick. Can you hear me, Nick?
Good morning, Preston.
Hey! It's really cool.
And there he is.
Nick is...
How are you?
How are you, Nick? You're using a software version of a thing called a Comrex, which is the basic unit that we use when we do our remotes, and you're using it over your phone?
Yeah, Steve, it's a Comrex field tap, and does it sound okay?
It sounds really good.
It's a little bit hollow, but, I mean, it sounds slightly different than our microphones, but it's crisp and clear.
Did you say hollow?
Hollow!
I'm in a... I'm in an empty room at home, and Steve, it's an app that's on it's on an iPad, actually, so I can use my phone. We were talking about this last night. If I were to use my phone in this app, I would have to have my phone in airplane mode so no messages would come in and disrupt the broadcast. So I'm using an iPad, Steve, you were talking a lot last week. You've all been talking about being able to work from home and doing things like this. This is just an app on an iPad that essentially allows me, in a somewhat more limited version, to broadcast from home. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And so they're getting more equipment because who knows where this thing is going to go. And there could come a day when all of us are in separate locations for the time being doing our show. So we're just kind of getting things up and running, you know, seeing how it goes. And if we need to do that, then we'll be ready for it.
The one thing that's for certain is that we will continue to do the show, even if we're in far-flung parts of the world.
Yeah.
But I'm planning on going to China.
Stop it,
John. Hey, we have something else. We have something else going on that I want to mention. Our company has set this up. So if you're a business owner that's facing some difficulty, some issues, there's a 30-minute webinar. It's called Crisis Management for Local Businesses, and it's presented by Beasley Media Group. And it's got all kinds of insights, timely advice, relevant data, that you might be able to use. It's some points to enable your business to not only endure during the issues, but to emerge stronger when they're over. So if you want to take a look at that, go to WMMR.com. You can get registered for it. I found it. It's real easy to find. It just says crisis management for local crisis marketing strategies. Local. We're doing what we can to help out. And we obviously have the project for, gift cards and so on. That's up there as well. So if you want to peruse, if you're a business owner and everybody's going to be going through some issues, these are just some tips to help you out. So take a look when you get a chance.
Yeah, it's really well worth it to check both out because, again, as we come out on the other side, we're going to want to make sure we're on as strong a footing as we can get.
Yep, exactly. So what do we have going on today? We have a few things.
What do we have?
We're going to talk to our buddy Steph over at Philabundance. Philabundance is still open. They need some help. We'll get information out from them, obviously. And the crew from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia set up a fundraiser for Philabundance. That's pretty awesome.
It is really cool.
So they will definitely get funds kicking. Our buddy Kevin Smith is going to touch base this morning. Kevin, never a lack of words to say about pretty much anything. And obviously, I'm sure he's got some stuff and some insights about the pandemic and, what he's experiencing. So we'll talk to Kevin a little bit later on this morning, probably in the 9 o'clock hour. And Daily Rush Madness continues. Yeah, that ain't going anywhere. And I will give you the results. I can do that now if you want.
Yeah, please, let's do it.
Yeah.
Might as well get started.
Nick, are you being, what are you crinkling back there?
Are you eating?
No. That's the second time somebody's asked me that.
Since we've been checking in with him early in the day, I said, Nick, are you eating chips? And he goes, no, I'm in a room by myself. And I asked, is that the chip room you're in?
No, it sounds like he's opening Hershey's Kisses or something.
Yeah.
I'm not opening
a little foil packet.
What are you having for breakfast?
I heard that earlier when we weren't on air and your signal was coming through our cue speakers. I'm like, what is he doing?
I moved like 3 inches, and I have to stay perfectly still or else it's going to affect you.
We
guys.
Need to get him like a body cast and a halo and so he doesn't move at all.
Nick, by any chance, did you move 3 inches closer to chips?
I wrapped myself in cellophane this morning.
All right, that's good. Bubble wrap. All right, you know what I'll do, actually? I'll get the results a little bit later on this morning. We'll get to those when we get ready to kick it off, which will be after our next break in the entertainment report. Right. So, but Daily Rush Madness is continuing today. We appreciate your assistance. We found some Doritos.
There you go.
What a bonus. All right. So, yeah, with that, we'll take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We've got all the regulars for you. I've got some entertainment report stuff. I've got a stupid question ready to go. We'll give some stuff away. Word of the week prize, by this way, 4-pack of tickets to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue, Citizens Bank Park, with Poison and Joan Jett on Saturday, August 15th. So that is up for the Word of the Week prize. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, kind of a an interesting lineup of the show today. Nick McElwain is at home. Say hi, Nick.
Hey, guys.
All right, Nick is set up there, and we're just trying to thin out the staff a little bit to make sure that we're keeping our proper distances and so forth. So, we're testing out some equipment today. Nick is at his home. Marissa is at her house. Well, and she's actually staying in touch digitally,
yeah,
helping us out with things that we need. And somebody texted and said, well, who's screening the phones? Connor is here. Connor's our production assistant, and he's a badass. He's a utility guy.
Yeah.
He's one of those, you know, we need this done. Get Connor to do it. Connor does it. So, and where the hell is he?
He's over there. He's right there.
What's up, Connor? So Connor is going to be handling all audio and screening of calls, and he's by himself. He's in that lonely little booth on the other side of the glass.
Protected by glass.
But he is here, and so he's the guy that's going to be handling that. So we very much appreciate him being here. Okay, so stupid question. We're going to give away a $60 Metro Diner gift card, okay? And the question that I have, and I'm going to play off of the whole, you know, lockdown and virus thing here, so... in The Stand.
Yes.
In the novel, both the novel and in the TV miniseries, what was the popular nickname for the super flu that swept the world? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. What is the nickname for the popular, or the popular nickname for the super flu? Not the popular super flu.
That's my favorite super flu.
Sweeping the whole world.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. So I'm going to go through some birthdays today. It being March 23rd, Perez Hilton. Real name, Mario Lavandera Jr., is 42 years old.
He built a gossip site, a website up from nothing, and he had an attitude on it that really caught attention fast. And then he pulled that back. He used to be very caustic, very insulting, and then he decided that was not going to be his way. And the website still exists, but I don't think it's as much of a newsmaker as popular.
No, yeah. When he was bullying people,
it was popular. Yeah.
And he eventually realized that what am I doing? I shouldn't be doing that. You know, it's the pot calling the kettle black.
You're right, Preston. He actually went on Ellen and did sort of a mea culpa to her.
Also celebrating a birthday today, Princess Eugenie. Younger daughter of Britain's Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson. Fergie. So Princess
Eugenie
is 30 years old today. Yes.
That's when she wants food. She says it twice. And then they go down into that. There's about 9 levels down, and there is behind a large concrete wall. That's where Eugene is getting.
It is also Chaka Khan's birthday.
Chaka Khan.
Yeah, Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Let me rock Chaka Khan.
Wow, she's 67 years old today.
Damn. When I'm doing my Zumba, I put this on.
This is what you put on?
Yeah.
She's a tiny little thing, man. She's really small, Marissa size. She's like 4-footer, yeah.
She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
not 4-footer. I said she's a 4-footer. You know, Marissa's size.
Chaka Khan, everybody. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Hi.
She's 5 feet.
Chaka Khan!
Is she in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I thought she might have been.
I don't know.
But everyone you don't suspect of being in is in, and everyone that should be in is not.
Carrie Russell, the actress, is 44 years old.
I love her.
Hey, wait a minute. Was she the ones that surprisingly popped up in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, were you guys saying, or am I getting that totally wrong?
No, you're talking, we were saying that...
Dakota Fanning is in.
Yes, Dakota Fanning and
somebody
and,
else.
From Girls. I'm having
Lena a Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham. Yeah. Who was that?
That was Nick. Nick.
I'm sorry, I was eating chips.
Nick and I were discussing off air, like, how are we going to handle this? You're just going to leave this on and I can chime in whenever? And I was like, well, let's try that. That was weird.
Yeah.
But I like
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Back to the chips.
Please. So Carrie Russell's 44. Steve, Richard Grieco.
Richard Grieco!
If there's a person we need right now, it's Richard Grieco.
You see right through me. That, you know, A Night at the Roxbury, Richard Grieco is very... In fact, Richard Grieco at this point has probably worked more playing Richard Grieco than he has playing other roles. What was that movie where he was the...
If Looks Could Kill.
Yeah. He's the student that goes across over to Europe.
I love that. It's a terrible movie, but I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's permanently has tattooed eyeliner
it's
on,
gotta
right?
It's got to be. Nobody has eyes like that.
Yeah.
Well, they're just gorgeous.
He's 55 today. Amanda Plummer, who you know from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. What do you think about Trudy?
Oh, wait, sorry. That's no, not she's Trudy. Not she's Trudy. Honey Bunny.
She's Honey Bunny.
She's Honey Bunny, yeah.
Yolanda, actually.
Yolanda, yeah.
Is who she is. So, Pulp Fiction, she's in The Fisher King. She's
I'm Yolanda!
Little Shop of Horrors.
She's Christopher Plummer's daughter.
I never knew that.
You never knew that?
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Christopher Plummer, The Sound of Music, and a gazillion things throughout the years.
Because she seems completely... in her tone and the way she is different than Krista, who's very, you know, very this and very that, and she's very mousy.
Yeah, and she's also very offbeat, too. She can play some pretty strange, like, she in So I Married an Axe Murderer, when she goes crazy, she goes crazy, dude. So she is 63 today.
Oh, wow.
Jason Kidd, the NBA star, is 47. Actress Catherine Keener.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, I do, too. She was great in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Get Out. She was pretty terrifying in that. Being John Malkovich. A lot of stuff through the years. Michelle Monaghan, Maid of Honor, Mission Impossible 3, and others, is 44.
What else was she? Was she in a Ben Stiller movie?
Which Ben Stiller movie?
The Sunshine Kid?
I didn't see it.
All right.
She's 44. And then the last birthday, and I had to look her up, and she's one of those, oh, yeah, her. Actress Hope Davis, who was in... Wayward Pines, Steve, she played the teacher, the principal of the school.
She's
a great character actor. She was also Tony Stark's mom in Winter Soldier.
So she can play a really lovable, benevolent character and a very menacing character, which is what that teacher was.
Yep. So she is celebrating her 56th birthday today.
On the subject or quasi-subject of M. Night Shyamalan television series, if you're holed up now, it'd be a great time to watch Servant on Apple TV.
That's on Apple TV. You know
yes,
what?
Yes, Servant.
I'm writing that down now because
you will love it.
TV is finally working again.
Oh, yes, good. Servant.
And hold on, I want to jot it down because that is one I've been wanting to get to on Apple.
Just give us a minute.
Gee, one moment. Apple. Nick, eat something. Nick makes
Shaka Khan is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
So do you have access to, so you're on an iPad, on an iPhone?
No, he just knows that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just knew that.
I have all of my devices in front of me, though, Steve. I have my phone, I have my MacBook Air, and I have my my iPad, and I'm doing the broadcasting from the iPad.
I'm sorry, Nick, but even in a pandemic, you can't seem like a know-it-all.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In the novel and in the television series The Stand, what is the name of the Superflu, the nickname that is given to the Superflu? 215-263-WMMR, that is the number. And I am going to go to Andy for the answer. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Good morning.
Andy, what's the nickname for the Superflu in The Stand?
Captain Trips,
yeah. Hang on a moment. Andy, we are going to take care of you with a 4-pack of tickets to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue at Citizens Bank Park with special guests Poison and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts set. No, wait, that's the Word of the Week prize.
So,
I don't have that for you. I do have a $60 Metro Diner gift card. Metro Diner is offering Metro Meal Packs that feed families of 4 to 6 in a variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner bundles, including signature fried chicken and waffle and house-made meatloaf. For more information, you can visit metrodiner.com.
You know, I might suggest that you watch The Stand as sort of a pick-me-up because that's because that's ultra, ultra bad.
Yeah, that's
and
bad.
And we have certainly serious but manageable. That's ultra, ultra bad.
Yeah.
That's visions and evil things, and it's off the charts.
Yeah, and when that particular strain of flu hits, it's like 24 hours, you're gone.
Gone.
It's it's a little bit different than now.
Right.
All right, so
if you want a good laugh fest.
There you go.
Oh, jeez.
Let's dive into the Harvey Weinstein, as you mentioned, Steve. Tested positive for coronavirus in prison just days after being transferred to the Wendy Correctional Facility from Rikers Island. So he went over to this other one. And he is now in medical isolation, an Empire State law enforcement official tells Deadline. According to Weinstein's PR chief, Judah Engelmeyer, on Sunday, they said, "Our team has not heard anything like that yet. I can't tell you what I don't know."
Maybe that's just wishful thinking. What can you think of a more loathsome or more difficult job in the world than being Harvey Weinstein's PR chief?
Right. Let's see how we can.
Yeah. How do we polish this one?
Pep things up a little bit here. Weinstein, who just turned 68, is one of two prisoners at the maximum security facility put into isolation after testing positive. There are a total of 961 prisoners at Wendy. He is serving 23 years behind bars after being found guilty of the two sex crimes. As coronavirus spreads, New York has been the worst hit state in the country with over 15,000 confirmed cases. More than 43,000 prisoners in the state system are seen as high risk.
I think Nick is trying on costume jewelry, Preston.
No, it sounds like a tambourine! Oh, my God!
Call me!
All right, I'm going to play random instruments this morning.
So Nick's got a headset with a mic attachment to it, and so he can't really step away from the microphone per se or move because it does make noises, but we'll work on getting that fixed.
Oh, snack time should be a joy this morning.
I'll put the broadcast away for snack time.
Like you two with that thing with what? The tambourine and saying stuff at the same time and jinx. Oh my God.
So that was really loud and annoying when I had a drink of water.
I did hear you gulp, but we heard a little rattle of something. All right. So I don't know what it is.
Me neither.
There it is. I heard it again. By the way, back to the story.
Okay.
Oh, Harvey.
Yeah.
Serious stuff.
No. More than 40 inmates at Rikers have also tested positive, and Weinstein spent time there before being transferred to Wendy, by the way.
It must be sad to see him go. Right.
Dating a celebrity would be challenging under normal circumstances, but love during time of the coronavirus? That's tough. It seems Ben Affleck and his rumored new romance, Ana de Armas, are going strong, despite California Governor Gavin Newsom's order to stay home and distance yourself from anyone not in your circle.
She's the female lead in Knives Out. She kind of came out of nowhere. I don't remember her in anything else, but she's really good.
Wait, she's dating Ben Affleck?
Yeah, she's dating Ben Affleck.
I don't approve.
And his pool boy, Ben Affleck.
She's too good for him.
After traveling together in Armas's native Cuba, the pair were photographed cuddling up while strolling through the Pacific Palisades while walking her Maltese Elvis. A few days prior, they were...
That's right, man. I'm a dog.
They were spotted on a coffee run in L.A. The pair starred together in the erotic thriller Deep Water before they were linked romantically. Armas told E.T. of working with Affleck, "It's pretty exciting. I don't think I've ever done anything like it. It's a genre that I've never played, and Adrian Lin is the master of that genre. I love Ben and everything's going well, but it's too soon to know what it's going to be like." He seemingly confirmed their relationship last week when she posted a shot of herself on Instagram, and he demanded photo credit in the comments.
Yeah. So right now, you know, I guess he's... So is he going to spend the most... The lockdown time, or not lockdown, but... With Jennifer Garner and the boys and their kids, or whatever the kids are? I think that's the plan, right?
Is to do what, I'm sorry?
Is to hang with Jennifer Garner and the kids, or, you know...
I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, you can still... you know, share custody of your children during this time. So I don't know if they're all in the same under the same roof or not. Right. So
I wonder if they call her aunt yet.
Director Christopher Nolan is asking moviegoers for help. In an op-ed in the Washington Post, the director of classics like Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Insomnia, Memento, Inception, and Interstellar argues that movies are more than the stars, the studios, the glamour. He wrote, the movie business is about everybody. The people working the concession stands, running the equipment, ticket sales, booking movies, selling the advertising, cleaning bathrooms in local theaters. Regular people, many paid hourly wages rather than a salary, earn a living running the most affordable and democratic of our community gathering places. He referenced the havoc coronavirus is creating, infecting more than 300,000, killing more than 13,000, closing movie theaters and all non-essential businesses. Nolan writes, in this time of unprecedented challenge and uncertainty, it's vital to acknowledge the prompt and responsible decisions made by any kind of companies across our country that have closed their doors in full knowledge of the damage that they're doing to their business. He said that there are parts of life that are far more important than going to the movies. But he adds, but when you consider what theaters provide, maybe not so many as you might think. We don't just owe it to the 150,000 workers of this great American industry to include them in those we help. We owe it to ourselves. We need what movies can offer us.
Was he asking to?
No, I mean, not outright, but maybe if you have the means to help somebody out, you know, he's just pointing out, I think we're all going to need to help each other.
Yeah. And to that point, over the course of the weekend, stories were popping up. You know, for everything that you hear that you know, obviously duration and so on and so forth, and this will end and we will get through it, you're starting to see, Preston, those stories that just make you go, God, that is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, across the boards. And when you, you know, just when you think you're getting anxious or whatever, realize that people, by and large, look out for each other. And, you know, for every toilet paper hoarder, there's someone out there doing something, someone giving away toilet paper for free.
Yeah.
So it's all you.
But why do we as a society allow movie theaters and, you know, sporting places to charge us $17 for a soda? You know what I mean? Like,
you don't have to.
No, listen, you can easily sneak food and drinks into a movie theater. You can't do it as much into, I know. Yeah. You can't do it in like a sporting venue or stuff like that. You know, I don't really mean to get on a soapbox right now, but
you could probably sneak all the soda you want now into a movie theater. You could probably sneak in kegs full because they're closed.
So screw these people.
No.
Kind of what you have a bone to pick with Christopher Nolan is what you're saying.
No.
Yes, Chris Dare put him on.
Well, listen, I think he's...
You know how much Dippin' Dots cost?
Dippin' Dots! I'm getting raped over these things. Come on, man. By the way, I really love Batman Begins.
No. I agree that there are a lot of unsung heroes when it comes to... but it seems like these prices are there to pay for Christopher Nolan and these huge celebrities, and not necessarily that money's not going to the people that he's speaking of. Okay. Anyway, I didn't mean to get out of the soapbox. I apologize. This is another conversation.
We needed that inspirational message.
As many theaters go dark, many studios shift to the online world. Disney Plus made Frozen 2 available.
Why are there so many trailers before movies, Preston?
Online ahead of schedule, and Universal followed suit, making The Hunt, Emma, The Invisible Man, and DreamWorks Animation Trolls World Tour available to rent. Sony Pictures' Bloodshot, starring Vin Diesel, will be available online soon.
It was wild to see the commercial for that Trolls movie.
Yeah.
Talking about in theaters. I think that's optimistic thinking, but for home streaming at the same time on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Steve, they were doing ads last night for Onward at home, and it's just, I think Onward was in theaters for 2 weeks, and now you can watch it at home.
Yeah, so people may not be aware, if you missed out on the information, I watched The Invisible Man over the weekend, which is, you know, was just released to theaters a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I watched The Hunt. I got a text message from my wife who was upstairs when I ordered it. She's like, dude, $20 for a movie? I go, yeah, I saved this money.
Yeah, what would you pay in
because
a theater?
Normally with the price of popcorn and soda,
woman, are you banging Christopher Nolan?
Don't you disrespect me.
Dipping Dots, you whore!
I saved us money. I saved us $10.
Enjoy that food you're eating because I saved money.
Dipping Dots.
Listen, yes, if you want to, if you want to get it early, you got to pay for it. So, all right. Anyhow, moving on.
What?
After TV and film production came to a halt this week on some of television's biggest medical dramas, they decided to donate their back stock of medical supplies to help first responders and hospitals, because some of that stuff they use is real. Grey's Anatomy, The Resident, New Amsterdam, Station 19, and The Good Doctor have all donated everything from masks to hospital gowns in an effort to support medical workers short on supplies.
There you go.
Many hospitals throughout the country are experiencing shortages of array of items, from nasal swabs to ventilators, with many facilities rationing some medical workers or even taking to crafting their own face shields. So Station 19, which is Grey's Anatomy spinoff, donated roughly 395 respirator masks to two local stations in California. These masks, which protect healthcare workers from respiratory illnesses, have been particularly hard to find. Grey's Anatomy gave its supply of gloves and gowns to hospitals in L.A. The Resident, which films in Atlanta, donated two trunks worth of gloves, gowns, masks, caps, shoe covers, scrubs, hair covers, lab coats, and isolation gowns to Grady Memorial Hospital. Masks were donated. They need those. So David Schulner, the showrunner for New Amsterdam, said the show donated its entire stock to Bellevue Hospital in New York City. Meanwhile, The Good Doctor, which is in Vancouver, gave all of their supplies to the local Canadian government. Daniel Day-Kim, who plays Dr. Jackson Han on The Good Doctor, and Dr. Cassian Shin on New Amsterdam, had announced that he was diagnosed with coronavirus on Thursday as well. So he's directly involved with a couple of those shows. So that's cool. They're not filming, and that stuff's needed, so they're offering that up.
That's really cool. That stuff is needed. The hospitals are running out of it, and I heard over the weekend that normally they would pay 83 cents for a mask. It's up to $7 a mask.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just price gouging. Like, they're just skyrocketing, and they're saying how it's nearly impossible.
Well, what's happening also now with this 45-minute test is that they're finding out that a lot of the people who are showing up at hospitals actually don't have this, the majority of people. So if you can test them and get them out or get them tested off-site and get a quick thing, that'll help the medical professionals who, they're not going, because obviously I think when you use a mask or whatever, you got to get rid of it or whatever as you're going through it, whatever the protocol is. So that'll help make the situation a lot more conducive to getting the most people treated.
So people just tuning in are wondering why Nick sounds the way he does or why he's not here, because obviously he has a different sound. So we're testing on working on thinning out things at the station, like all businesses are right now. This we're still going to remain open.
Yeah.
But if we can distance ourselves as well, we eventually are going to get to that. And if it's necessary, maybe we can all end up being in separate locations and do the show. So Nick has this, it's called a Comtrack setup. And he is at home, and so that's why he sounds a little bit different. Marissa's not here today. We're seeing how that goes, her working from home. But Connor is helping out here in the studio. And we'll get the extra equipment, because if this does drag out for a while and we do need to distance ourselves, we'll be ready for it. So that's what we're doing. All right, so, man. Kenny Rogers died. I know you guys all saw it. It was on Friday. That was a bummer, man. 81 years old. He passed away at home Friday night, natural causes. He was under hospice care, so his family was there. They knew he was going to go. I don't know what he had.
Yeah, I mean, 81, not... Yeah, well, listen, he lived a hard life earlier on, there was a time when he was at the top of the... He was so popular, he opened his own chicken place.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Rodgers had 24. This is a really down song.
Well, it's because he died. Else. That's why.
Yeah, yeah, give me something else.
I got you, bro.
You got to. Of course. He had 24 number one hits.
24 number one hits. Yeah. And he had two phases to his career. There was the original phase, and then it started to peter out a little bit, Preston, and then he seemed to kick back in.
Yeah, he was, what was the band called, New Edition?
Yeah, Kenny Rogers and the New Edition, yeah.
And so they had a couple of okay hits, and then, the Gambler hit, and boom, man, he took off.
Ruby, right, was one of his?
Ruby, and...
Which we found out was about a psychotic...
His first hit was You Picked a Fine Time to Leave Me Seal.
Yeah.
He had a whole string of hits, and then he started acting. Dude, Six-pack is a guilty pleasure of mine. Kathy, you ever seen that movie?
No. It's about the world of NASCAR.
He's a stock car racer.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And his crew is a group of kids. And,
Diane Ladd is one of the girls.
Diane Ladd is the, she's, as you can imagine, she's a teenager, but she's gorgeous. But anyhow, he had 24 number one hits. He was a six-time CMA award winner, three-time Grammy award winner, and recipient of the CMA Willie Nelson Lifetime Achievement Award in 2013.
My sister was a huge fan of Kenny Rogers, and like, you know, went and saw him in concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Valley Forge, they had a theater there. Used to have a theater there, Theater in the Round. And she, I remember her going and seeing that him there with my cousin.
I remember that night it was spinning too fast during the Kenny Rogers. just flung him right off.
I think this was, this might have been from New Edition.
My condition was in. I woke up this morning with the sun down.
This is when he wasn't quite country.
No.
Shining in him.
Very 60s, you know, psychedelia.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
Great song.
Yeah, they use it really well in Big Lebowski.
But some of his other hits, Lady, as we played at the top.
That's a Lionel Richie song, yeah? I think he wrote that for him.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know. Lucille. And then one that really took off was this one. And apparently, he didn't even like it when they got together. And it just, it exploded, he and Dolly Parton.
He actually let everyone know his disdain for the song on the first day of recording. He pissed on the sheet music.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's sending a message.
That's sending a message. But it was a huge hit. But Dolly Parton adored him.
Yeah, we have a clip from Dolly, I think, of her after he passed. She loved him.
Yeah, she's holding up a picture, so.
Yeah.
Just happened to have this picture when I walked out this morning of us. I walked out and I thought, well, maybe I'll hold that up to everybody. So I know you're sad as I am, but God bless you, Kenny. Fly high, straight to the arms of God. And to the rest of you, keep the faith.
He was born in Houston, and he thrived for some 60 years before retiring from touring in 2017 at 79. Despite his crossover success, he always preferred to be thought of as a country singer. He invested his time and money in a lot of other endeavors over his career, including a passion for photography that led to several books, as well as an autobiography called Making It With Music. He had his chain of restaurants, Kenny Rogers Roasters.
What did those in? Because that I remember that. They were good.
I only went one time, and there used to be one, I want to say, in Plymouth Meeting.
I've never been to one.
And it was good.
Yeah. It was excellent.
It was along the lines of a Boston market.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Maybe just a smidge better, a little more country. You know?
It seemed to be seasoned a little more, the chicken, but it was really good.
By the way, you guys said Diane Ladd. Did you mean Diane Lane?
Diane Lane. That's who it was. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah. So he was also a partner behind a riverboat in Branson, Missouri, and he was involved in numerous charitable causes, among them the Red Cross and Music Cares, and was a part of the All-Star We Are the World recording. You remember? Yeah, he's one of the voices.
One of the big ones. Yeah. His career was on fire at that point.
That's sad.
He had a rockin' beard, too.
But honestly, he's only 81. Because he had that white hair for the longest time.
Yeah. He did. He was like Bill Weston, rocking that silver pony look for a long time.
Brother in Arms.
Now I'm thinking of other songs. Like, do you remember Coward of the County?
Yeah, the Coward. They made that into a TV movie.
They made it into a TV movie. They made the Coward of the County a TV movie from songs that he wrote.
In fact, there was a Geico commercial. Do you remember? I think it was Geico that was about where he was, you know, they riffed on the Gambler, the song.
Oh, yeah.
About knowing when to hold them and fold them.
Yeah. Well, sad news. We lost Kenny Rogers. A couple other things. Let's go with this. Watch What Happens Live host and Bravo producer extraordinaire Andy Cohen was tested positive for coronavirus, he told fans on Friday. Shared the news on Instagram, writing, after a few days of self-quarantine and not feeling great, have tested positive. As much as I felt like I could push through whatever I was feeling to do Watch What Happens Live from home, we're putting a pin in that for now so that I can focus on getting better. His famous friends, including Hoda Kotb, Mark Ronson, Bob Saget, sent him their best. John Mayer wrote Rest Up, Love You With All My Heart. And Donnie Wahlberg said, Love You, Andy. Kate Hudson said, We All Love You, Andy. Rest and Feel Better Soon. And Donny Osmond wrote Rest Up, Andy. Sorry to hear this.
Very cool that they're, and he seems to be doing okay. Most people will do fine on this, which is always good to remember, but The thing is, Preston, he, on one of his last episodes, now they say it's about five to six days where if you're exposed, you would start to see signs. And so they go for the 14 days just for to make sure that you're, you know, past that thing. But so, you know, if for people who are worried about exposure or whatever, think about that. And then also there was talk, I think it's a couple of days past when it happened, but he had Hillary Clinton and he had someone else. They were doing one of those shot. Where you put the shots on a
like a shot ski?
Shot ski. And they were all doing it side by side. So you can imagine. Whoa.
Oops.
Yeah.
Others encouraged Cohen to use his platform to help make testing more available to non-famous people in the U.S. An increasing point of contention is a famous and powerful report their positive status. And ordinary Americans who are sick struggle to access tests. But listen, everybody's got to get in there and get it done if they're showing signs. So this is nice. After a tragedy, Broadway star Ruthie Ann Miles, and I didn't remember who she was until I read further into the story, is expecting her third child 2 years after tragically losing 5-year-old daughter Abigail Joy to a hit-and-run accident in Brooklyn. Remember this?
I remember this.
Yeah, she was 7 months pregnant at the time and sustained injuries herself. She later suffered a miscarriage. The driver later died by suicide, so it was just like one thing after another. It was just terrible that came out of that story. She and her husband, Jonathan, will welcome the child this spring. So that's great to hear. Idris Elba's wife, Sabrina, who was in that video with him, she's got coronavirus now.
Yeah,
she tested positive.
Figured, yeah.
Yeah. So he tested positive last week. The pair are quarantined in New Mexico. They told Oprah Winfrey on Apple TV, we didn't change the way we interacted. I could have made a decision to put myself maybe in a separate room or stay away. And I'm sure the people are making those decisions that are tough decisions to make. But I made the decision to be with him and still touch him. So they're going through that together.
I had meant to watch the Hobbs and Shaw, right?
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend. And he's in that.
He's
yes,
in it, yeah.
He's the main villain, yeah?
Yep.
All right, cool. I have to check that out.
Debbie Mazur, you know that actress, right?
Yes.
She hit up Instagram, and apparently she tested positive for COVID-19 as well. She described her symptoms. She said, my entire home... got an odd bug, low-grade fever, headache, sore throat, body aches, ears ringing, and dry cough. It cleared up quickly. Seasonal, I thought, but it felt unusual, different. 2 weeks later, she woke up with a higher fever and a super intense body aches. She continued saying, I'm hoping I've been through the worst of it already. One day I feel crappy, the next I'm normal. Today my lungs are heavy, but I'm tough. So maybe she had... Maybe she got both. Maybe she had a flu or something.
Yeah, she
ended up lucky. With this, so who knows?
Yeah, lucky you. Well, again, I assume she's a Manhattanite, Preston, correct?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where she lives.
So if you do get the regular flu, it doesn't mean you can't get the corona.
Yeah. Now, it's completely different.
They do say, this statistically, at least is what it's saying, and everything is not confirmed, but that if you do get the coronavirus, your likelihood of getting it again is... Low.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. What else did I see? Bella Hadid.
Oh, now we're talking.
Giving everything she's got to the fight against coronavirus. The supermodel, who is 23, is staying home, but she's still getting social, Steve. On Friday, she hit up Instagram topless, but she stayed modest thanks to a burrito prop.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Was she burrito blasting?
She captioned the post, me and my burrito, telling you to stay inside, not only for the sake of just yourself, but also for literally the entire world and all of the people that you love.
You know, there are those moments that we remember, those iconic moments. FDR's, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Hadid's burrito moment will be right up there with that.
We will never forget.
Never forget the burrito.
She said, it's crazy because all we have to do is work together to slow down this virus, and people are still having trouble understanding that. Don't be selfish. Meditate. Hang out with your dog, cat, fish. They are probably super excited to have your attention 24 hours out of the day. She also brainstormed activities.
Ooh, and that's that. Is it really a storm? Is it more a storm or a light sprinkle, Preston, in that case?
Probably. She said, learn how to knit, tie-dye some socks, write a poem to your mom. I guess TikTok, if that's what you're into. Find out your rising sign. I don't know what that means.
How long does that take?
Then learn about it. And become a better person. Anyways, last thing, not new news, but wash your...
Anyway!
Those damn hands, people.
Yeah.
To the people who are still working and the ones who can't, I love you and I'm thinking about you.
Rising.
So that would be everybody, right? The ones who are working and the ones who can't.
Okay. Your rising sign is your social personality.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Your social... an astrological thing.
That's what I was thinking, Nick.
No, it does tie to it. It does tie to the zodiac sign.
Oh, okay. So what am I? I'm a Gemini.
I don't know. Am I a
Perez Hilton?
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Two other quick things.
Yes.
New Girl star Jake Johnson, who also voiced Peter B. Parker in the animated Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Which is great.
Is offering families stuck at home a free voice message to cheer kids up. So he's doing that for free. He shared that offer on Instagram. I don't know how many people is going to be able to do that for. And then last, Nick Jr.'s interactive learning subscription service for preschoolers, Noggin, is now available on Apple TV. Nick Jr. content like Paw Patrol, Dora the Explorer, Shimmer and Shine, Blaze and the Monster Machines, and the Wonder Pets is included. The Wonder Pets.
The phone.
The phone is ringing. This is serious. We have to help them. I used to love that show.
Me too. Oh, it took me a little while to warm up.
So
to
this
it.
Big, oh, it was so cute.
I've heard of Paw Patrol. I know that that's huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Backyardigans was my absolute favorite
Casey,
of all of them.
While reading this morning, and I started singing the Wonder Pets song. Backyardigans had the best music by far. It was such a great show.
Did you see, I don't know if you had this, Preston, or for later, but J.K. Rowling has released the copyright protections on her, on the Harry Potter books to be used by teachers for online.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, that's so that cool. You can, if they want to incorporate...
Just some at-home reading or...
Yes, and courses, and I don't know what the specifics were, but apparently there was a block to using Harry Potter material
in your curriculum.
Yeah, whatever
that. How that's possible?
I don't even know how that's possible either. But apparently, she's relinquished. The restrictions on it.
I'll see what the details are on that. What's the story on clips? Are we doing?
We got them.
Oh wow!
Mystery though. They are mystery.
Let's do mystery. That's fine. Marissa's not here. I'll explain why. Nick is on location at his house.
Yeah, if you know what it is, just shake your tambourine.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Remember, if you know who this is, raise your hand, and then you get picked upon to reveal who you think this clip is. Here we go.
I'm excited.
I really loved it as a kid. So, you know, they really gave me the chance to make it feel like my own. They didn't say, you know, you have to follow this rule, you have to follow that rule. I kind of just took it and ran with it and made it ours, not just mine, but like really, you know, tried to take this cast that I think is one of the best casts on TV and give them the space to do what they do best.
I know who it is. Like, I don't know. I can't give you the name, but I know.
Pertaining to what?
I don't know. I'm saying I know the voice. I know that I know who that is. I either watch the show or she's in something I watch.
It's a reboot or something. She sounds like she's...
I'm going to guess Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart?
Yeah, that's my
oh, my
guess.
God.
No, you know the voice?
Wait, can you play it a little bit more?
We'll go back a little
I'm going to look while I look over here. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, you don't know who this is.
No. You got to back it up, Case.
Oh, I thought I did. Sorry.
Back it up, bro.
I really loved it as a kid. So, you know, they really gave me the chance to make it feel like my own. They didn't say, you know, you have to follow this rule. You have to follow that rule.
He's in something I watched.
Okay. I'm going to guess the actress who plays Nancy Drew.
No. So anyway, she's a writer.
It's Adley McKenzie.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
And she's the series creator of a show called Roswell, New Mexico, which airs tonight at 9 on the CW, Kathy. Right.
Here's the next clip, and I have to take myself out of this because I looked at it. Damn it, and I might have known this too. Okay. Right. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Orson was very adamant that I was not to be touched ever. So, and I'm Latin, so I like hugging people a lot. And anytime someone would try and give me a hug, I would scream, "Don't touch her!" So by the end of it, it was nice to be able to like hug people again.
I will give you a hint.
Yeah,
she was in our studio.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yes, Nick got it. Anya Taylor-Joy. Stop, please. Stop. Thank you. So that is correct, and I fell in love with her when she was here.
She was amazing.
She was so sweet, and she has the most striking look about her, possibly the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. And she is in Emma, right?
Emma, which is available for rent. everywhere.
All right. Yes. Excellent. And there you go. That is what I have
in this
morning's entertainment report. So a couple of things to note. A couple of our key members are at home today. We're trying some stuff out. Should the need be that we distance ourselves and have the ability to do our respective parts of the program from our homes. We're working on equipment. Nick is set up at home. He's actually at his house right now, but we're communicating with him.
How about that?
Marissa does not have broadcast equipment, but she is staying in touch with us this morning from her house as well. Should we need to thin the numbers out even more and have just one person here, we're trying these things out. We'll see how that goes. So far, so good, though.
It seems fine.
And Connor is our man in the booth. He's going to be screening the phone calls and getting us audio and stuff like that. So we are doing the Preston and Steve radio program and moving forward with everything.
Listen, it's safer with less bodies. And right now in the building, the more that we can spread out, the better. So, yeah, you're right, Preston. And I'm kind of happy with the results so far.
Yep. So with that, we have a lot going on. We have Daily Rush Madness.
Yes.
We're going to return with that, start to highlight the clips. I'm going to give the winners of the weekend that you voted on. We also have Kevin Smith on the program today.
How about that?
We'll see what's in Kevin Smith's mind about all this bizarreness in the world right now.
And if you look for someone to recommend things to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Smith.
And we also have our friend Stephanie from Philabundance, who comes on every year with us for Camp Out for Hunger. And they are open. They can help you. They also would like to get some assistance as well in terms of volunteerism and so on. But we'll get the details from her a little bit later on. With that, we'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us this morning.
Glad you asked. Five Finger Death Punch. Blue Stones. Now I'm shaking off the rush. Disturbed.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
As I mentioned, Nick is set up with a broadcast unit at home. You can say hi, Nick. Make sure that you're on. I have him turned on, but I don't hear anything. Nick, are you there?
Somebody's doing a poopy break.
He said
he was moving some things around, but that he would be back. And then
okay,
he texted me that he was back. So
clearly, that's not working.
Oh, I know they have a problem with wolves in that area.
He might have been attacked by wolves. All right, so we'll see. I'm going to leave it on and see if he comes up. But this is why we're trying out stuff like this. Yeah. Like any other place, we're trying to thin out contact as much as possible. So Marissa's at home. Nick is at home. There may come a day, depending on how long things last and how they get, where we're all at our homes. So we're setting this up. We're trying this out with various pieces of equipment. So we'll hear from Nick in a little bit, who is at home. What else? Oh, yes. Let's do Daily Rush Madness.
Yeah!
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness!
Our Daily Rush videos, sponsored by Punchline Comedy Club and Restaurant, are vying for champion. Who's going to be the best one? And you are the one who gets to let us know. Now, we had, over the weekend, six matchups, and I'm going to give you the rundown of who the winners are, and then I'll start to highlight who we have set up for today. You'll have 24 hours to vote through PrestonandSteve.com. It's easy. The videos are there for you to watch. We'll play just little clips to remind you what is what. But day one winners included... It doesn't tell me which one's one.
The numbers are next to them.
It has the matchups. No, those are the seeds. Oh, yeah. No?
No.
Okay, anyway. Where's that other sheet of info?
Did you throw it away when you got the
other? I did, because I thought this said everything on it.
There you go, Rudy.
Thank you, Casey. All right, here you go. Our winners from last week. The first one was an upset. Bill Weston's church reading beat out the Turtle Kid All Grown Up.
Oh, my God.
So that was a 16 seed beating a 1 seed.
Whoa. Unbelievable.
You never know what's going to happen. Also winning was the favorite Pudding Guy over Adrian Zemed. The new Pearl Jam song, which was the favorite, beat out Michael Jackson's openings. And Nick, I hear you in the background now.
Okay.
All right, there we go. Then you had Fart Fart beating out She Was a Singer.
Oh, wow.
Taylor Swift's Stalker was an upset over Kathy's Perfect Butthole.
Wow.
So the upsets have already started. And then the last matchup we had was Kathy's Dreamcatcher and Manthe's Alexa beating out F Hunger in the Butt. So they move on to the next round.
Some big upsets.
Yes. Today, we are highlighting the following clips. We are going to start off. Well, actually, the two matching up against each other are... I'm going to play each one individually. The first matchup is Preston's birthday mystery guest. All right, and this is a little clip from Preston's mystery guest. Here we go. Do you cook? I mean, like, would people know you for your cooking?
Yes.
Jesus, none of this is helping me.
The island cooking journalist drummer.
By the way, before I play the rest of this, it was a mystery guest. I didn't know who it was. I was blindfolded. The person was in the studio, and they answer yes or no questions. And what I didn't know is they told this guy, who was not a celebrity, to answer yes to everything I said.
He was a construction worker in our building.
It was Manny was his name.
Right, yeah.
He was a construction worker.
And we had him process through my thing so he couldn't recognize the voice. And I just told him to basically say yes to everything.
And here we go.
I mean, come on.
Black
How can I not get it?
Yes.
I know. I don't know.
You don't know?
Wait till you see him.
I have no idea.
All right, Preston.
Damn it.
Take off your blindfold.
Wait a minute.
Preston, this is one of the construction workers in our building currently.
He said yes to every question on purpose. You suck.
Is when
it was pretty awesome.
They ended up taking the blindfold off of Preston. He had like a moment of panic, like... Dude, I'm supposed to know this guy.
I don't know this guy.
I'm supposed to know this guy.
I don't know who it is.
He was a drummer. He was a chef. He was an actor.
Yeah.
On TV.
How would you
locally.
Not know someone so accomplished?
So Preston's birthday mystery guest against a clip called Harry Schnitt. And then here's that clip. Schnitzel Fest apparently used 400 pork chops, 4,000 eggs, 551 pounds of breadcrumbs to create a giant schnitzel.
People must have been schnitting for weeks after. They called me the schnithead.
All right, so it was Harry Schnitt. So you have Preston's mystery guest against Harry Schnitt. If you need to see the videos, and I recommend that you do, go to PrestonandSteve.com and you can place your vote. And there are five matchups today. So you can vote on all of them now. We're just going to roll out which ones they are through the course of the show today. So Daily Rush Madness Competition Day number 2 is taking place as we speak. So over the weekend, a lot of people doing video conference calls. That was obviously taking place leading up to the weekend as well, but I think it really stepped up with people doing virtual happy hours.
Yeah.
And not only that, but work stuff as well.
Work stuff, FaceTime, all the different ways to do it, Skype, so on and so forth. A lot of people venturing in. This is their sort of their version, attempt at making a conference call.
Yeah.
Or group calls.
In fact, I was last week, I started to, I've been doing some Facebook Live videos every now and then, and I wanted to get a better camera to stream with. And so I was looking at some, Nick Murphy, who's the genius of that stuff, gave me some suggestions, and he came back and he's like, dude, there's a run on cameras. Like they're selling out because I think a lot of people want to upgrade.
Sure.
Who have never done it before.
Right.
Or they figure this is the time, hey, if I'm going to be doing this more often, I'd like to get some better equipment. So
yeah.
I think that that there's a run on this technological stuff.
But you do have, I mean, in your phone and in your computer, you have serviceable cameras. You know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, I did a FaceTime happy hour thing on Saturday with a bunch of my neighbors who are people like, dude, right around the corner from me.
Yeah.
So, in fact, everybody who was on, there was one group that our neighbors who used to live right down the street were in California.
Right.
But the rest of us were, I mean, within walking a quarter of a mile from each other.
But you're observing social distancing.
Yeah.
And honestly, the more that you do this and find fun ways to do this, in the next couple of weeks will determine how successful we are and how much sooner we get out of this. So in this portion of time, explore options like this. Let me ask you, how did you do it? What software did you on Facebook?
It was FaceTime.
FaceTime.
My buddy, my neighbor Mark Wassmer set it up, and he sent out an invitation to everybody, and you just hit the link, and it takes you there.
So it can be, there is a FaceTime link.
You can have up to 30, some odd people. Now, there were seven of us, and I'm like, well, how the hell are you going to do that? As I'd never done that link up before. And all these small windows pop up with people's faces. And whomever is talking at the time, the windows change in size. They slowly grow larger and smaller.
Is that what that is?
is.
And so whichever is picking up the most audio, it will enlarge a little bit. And therefore, that person speaking, it's a way to kind of alert you to who's talking. I was like, okay, that's a pretty cool way to do it. And it worked out nice. And every now and then there were some bandwidth issues where things either got pixelated or somebody dropped out for a moment.
Listen, so this right now where these systems are being tested. And not to jinx it, but they're holding up pretty well.
Yeah.
So I did one on House Party, and it's an app. And the only reason I did that is because my friend was on it. She said, hey, let's do this later. Download the app. And then she sent the link. So very similar, except that it didn't have the technology where it was changing when people were talking. But there were three of us on there. It was two of my college friends. And, you know, you could see everybody. We sat. We chatted for like a half an hour. And then...
Rochelle was using Zoom, I think, on Friday night, and I think you have to, she was on her laptop, you have to scroll through to see all the cameras.
Oh, really?
I think so, because I was just kind of, I walked by and saw that she was doing it, and I didn't really ask too many questions about it. I'm not sure how that works.
I did my yoga classes on Zoom.
Okay.
The online or the at-home yoga class was on Zoom.
Okay.
And that was pretty good.
But just your instructor's camera was on. Everybody else's was off and muted.
Well, everybody was muted. So she set it up so that when people joined, you couldn't hear them. So she muted everyone. So she was the only one that you could hear. But there were, you could see little circles of the other people if they wanted to. I personally didn't turn my camera on, but I was still able to join.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we did a family game night on Saturday night. And Steve, you probably would have hated it because we did Scattergories. I don't know if you like the game or not.
But what is Scattergories again?
Scattergories is you roll a die. It's like a 20-sided die, and it has a bunch of different letters on it. It has all 20 of the letters. And then you get several categories, and you have to name as many things as you can in that category to start with that letter.
With that letter,
it doesn't have all 26 letters?
No, there's no Q, there's no Z, there's no X. So maybe it's got 24. I'm not quite sure, but Ben was at his mom's house and my girlfriend and I were at home and, we FaceTimed and I was shocked at how well it went, you know, and it just us to be in two different rooms at the same time.
And I guess
that's cool.
If you're a board gamer, Nick, you could even like, if everybody's got Monopoly, I know you hate Monopoly, Steve, but you could set up your own board at home and move around the pieces and now you'd have to participate in every turn.
Right. So I would have to roll the dice for Ben every time he wanted to go in Monopoly, but I was trying to think of other games you could do while doing this. Because I don't think card games would work unless I'm wrong. But anyway, Scattergories worked out great.
Well, before I played Monopoly on video conferencing system, I would play a game called Run Out and Lick Every Touchpad.
Okay.
So because that's, you know, Monopoly is my most loathed game. But the options are plentiful.
Somebody texted in that they had a virtual beer pong on Friday night tournament.
You could do that, yeah.
You could do that.
I mean, so you with the video quality of Nick and with your as you said, so you have these windows opened up, everyone's playing the game, the audio and everything is conducted, and you felt it was an enjoyable experience?
It was like he was in the room with us.
That's so cool.
It could not have gone any better.
Hey, we have a call. I'm going to go to a listener named Marissa. Marissa, are you there?
Hi, guys. First time, long time.
What's up, Magnata?
Hey, so I, just like you guys, did some video happy hours this weekend. I do have to tell you that if you guys are using Zoom, you can. Oh, my God, it's really weird talking to you guys while I'm sitting on my couch.
Sure. Yeah. Go put some clothes on.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, that's what I forgot to do this morning. if you're using Zoom, there is a gallery tab, but you have to be using it on, like, a laptop or an iPad. If you're using it on your phone, you can only do four at a time and swipe through.
All right, so
that's just an FYI.
So just to specify, if you're using Zoom and you want, and how many people can be present in that gallery, Marissa?
Well, the one I was on had 85 people.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
That's too many.
But so while my friends and I were on it on, I guess it was Saturday afternoon, I was sitting on my balcony. A few friends were outside on their porches. It was really nice. We watched a fire start in Fairmount.
Wow.
So we were all kind of like, I was looking in the direction of where my friends live, and suddenly there was this like plume of smoke that popped up.
So luckily for you, someone's house set on fire.
Right. Something to do.
Someone's residence is on fire. No, yeah, but you were all, but again, to that point, Marissa, and to the point of people, you know, you're in the city and you know it's quite common for people. Hey, you're in the hallway, come on over or outside the building or whatever, or just hang out. And that's what needs to stop the transmission. So getting good at these different things and to have that many people, I don't know. I don't even think I even know 80 people.
Well, mine was that was the yoga class.
Oh,
so
right,
I was just saying that she had 85 people that were able to get on at the same time. But going back to Nick playing the games, so this house party app that we were on, it has the games on it. So when we got to a point where I guess we didn't have anything to talk about, my friends started up a game and it was a trivia game.
Oh,
and so
cool.
You played against each other.
And, and that's on the house party app.
Yeah.
I'm going to jot these down.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody texted in. This is worth checking out. It says there is a website app called Tabletopia.
All right, I'm jotting these down.
And you can play tons of games with other people and friends. I am writing that down right, immediately.
Cause everybody at home, write these down. Because Marissa, can you get them up on the site as well? Or Nick, you know.
Absolutely. I'll start working on it now.
All right, so it's House Party app, you said, Kathy?
Yeah, House Party is the app that we were on yesterday.
So that's for conferencing.
And Tabletopia?
Tabletopia, right? Yeah. I guess it's a way to play board games together, but I don't know the details on that. Somebody just checked in with that.
All right.
So while that, Marissa, do you want to stay on the line? Or
I can hop off. I just, because I found this app because we were doing some testing out yesterday, House Party does max out at 8 people.
Eight people? So, okay.
Yeah. So that's usually fine. But if you're, you know, getting crazy out there and having a big party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I mean, there was only 3 of us, but like, I can't, like, more, I don't know that more than that would have been successful. Like, I feel like you would have all just been talking over each other.
So, a quick question. If you have your yoga class with all those people, you're not paying attention to what everyone else is doing. You're simply, you're listening to the instructor.
Right. That's what I was saying. Everybody else was muted. She had it set up so that when you called in, your audio didn't go through.
Okay. All right.
All right, Marissa, we'll check in with you, all right?
Bye, guys.
Thanks, bye. Yeah, we had on our little happy hour thingy, there were 7 of us, and it was there was a little bit of talking over each other, but for the most part, it worked out. It moved along.
I think so. I'm gonna hold a yoga class later on in the afternoon.
I've seen
enough of it on TV to know.
I have 8 tips for better video conference calls.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if we'll get to all 8 or not, but I do have tips for better video conference calls. So you guys want to hear a couple of these?
Yes, please.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
Make sure that you know what's going on around you. Close that window if you're on a noisy street and flip on a light. A soft fill on your face is all that matters as far as light goes. This is according to lead camera analysis from PC Mag, Jim Fisher.
I need a lot more to fill in my face.
Says using a desk lamp with a shade should work as long as you can avoid harsh direct light. If you've got big windows, face the windows so that they light you up. Otherwise, the camera is going to struggle with exposure.
Well, for me, what I think is the most flattering when I get in any one of these cameras, Preston, I use a Rode flare.
Okay.
And I hold it about 1.5 feet from my face. That's the lighting that most flatters me.
You'll be very lit up. You can get creative with how you connect. Most companies have a favorite service they like to use, like Skype, Google Hangouts, or Zoom. If you're working on a personal computer, all you have to do is download the appropriate desktop app or click a link and log into your account. Remember that most mobile messaging apps have video capabilities. Apps like Facebook Messenger, Signal, Android Messages, and Google Hangouts, among others, will allow for limited video calling. Many of the services also have web and desktop apps. FaceTime also allows group chats and supports receiving phone calls on your computer. Clear out the bandwidth hogs. One of the downsides of video chats are the pixelated screens and choppy audio that comes with lackluster bandwidth. If you are expecting a video call or 3, make sure the smart devices in your home aren't hogging the connection.
Oh.
If you've got kids, yeah, I didn't know this either, Case, and they're streaming video games or Disney Plus. So I guess even the stuff you might be watching via
You're eating up bandwidth.
And so
The
robot vacuum is mapping your home, or hefty software programs are running on your PC. All that activity could disrupt your video call at an inappropriate time. It says to start, check your internet speed to know what you're working with and whether you're getting what you pay for.
And you have, so if you have Xfinity, you can hop on the Xfinity Wi-Fi. You can hop on and pause different Wi-Fi connections throughout the house.
Okay.
So if you need to do that.
Also, it says log in early. Don't wait for the meeting to start to find out that your connection is bad or your software doesn't work properly. Test it before the conference starts. You can do this within Zoom by using the program's test feature. WebEx also has a personal room that can be used for testing. In Skype, click your profile picture and select settings, audio, and video settings.
and there should be a camera preview under the video section. You can also look for sound test services in your Skype contacts to test audio quality. If Wi-Fi is giving you trouble, fish out the Ethernet cable that you might have.
Yes.
And you can do a direct connection, which should helpfully cut down on any potential speed issues or sudden dropouts while video conferencing. I may have to do that. I was talking to Rodney because I did a Facebook video the other day, a few days ago, and I rigged up my drum audio in there, and I was playing a little bit just to see if I could play drums. Now the audio would come through, and every now and then the audio would get weird, would get funky. So he said, because Rodney had tuned in, he was watching, he's like, I'll get you a cable that's long enough to run that directly into your Ethernet, which it would have to be 50 feet long in order to do that. So I'm going to have to get a super long cable.
We had a caller up, we just lost him, but mentioning Twitch. A lot of people use Twitch. And I've only used it to watch gameplay, but a lot of people.
How's the quality, Steve, on Twitch?
Very good, very good. I mean, it seems to be because this is by its nature. And if somebody knows any different, you know, please call in and let me know. But by its nature, it's meant to have lots of people on at the same time watching all, you know, the gaming activity and communicating with other gamers. So, I've on a social level. I assume it would work just as well, right? So, I mean, I've only used it from a spectator's point, but I'd be curious to see how that works with conferencing.
Other tips while you're doing your video conferencing. Avoid feedback. Don't rely on your computer's iffy built-in microphone and speakers. Find yourself a nice Bluetooth headset or even gaming headphones to use while you're on a call. Mm-hmm. So that's something to consider. It'll be easier for you to hear as well. And don't forget a charger when you get that. That's what I did not long ago. I popped up and started doing a video and I was in the basement and I didn't bring my charger downstairs and I look up and I'm like, and I guess it starts to suck the juice out of your laptop if you're doing something like this. So, you want to make sure that it is plugged in and powering up. There's also some portable chargers powerful enough to recharge your laptop in a pinch as well. And then I only have one more tip.
All right.
Have a backup plan.
A backup plan, like what?
No matter what program you use, have a backup plan in case something goes awry, whether that's switching to an audio-only call or throwing in the towel and realizing you're in a meeting that could have been an email.
This is bull crap.
Yeah, exactly.
This is bull crap.
So,
I mean, a lot of people also, to the point also, and Preston, you started to point out last week, things about, you know, again, being aware of what's in the room, being aware of what people can see, you know, if you have questionable documentation or things up around that. You know, you want to make sure because obviously if people can hear conversations in other rooms and so on and so forth, those are things to protect against as well.
Yeah. Did you guys see the footage of they were doing some sort of video conference and the one girl went to the bathroom in the middle of the video conference? She laid her, like, iPad down on the ground or whatever it was, laptop, iPad, and you see her stand in front of the toilet, pull her pants down, and then sit on the toilet. You guys didn't see this?
No, beef? I love
no,
that.
No, you don't see no any beef. It's all side shot.
Karen, we can see your beaver.
I will, you know,
I saw a guy doing something similar to that, but I've not seen the one of the gal. I have a question.
Yeah.
Do they make, and I could easily look this up, but I just don't know off the top of my head, but do they make for, if you're going to do video conferencing like this, like a mount that you can put your phone on that would hang around your neck that would just have it right here.
So you could walk around and do stuff?
So you're not like this with your hand all the time. If you're going to be on for an hour or something like that and you're using your phone.
Like a harmonica attachment.
And that way you can walk around as opposed to, you know, I have a little tripod that I can put my phone on if I want to, but I haven't utilized that yet.
They do. So I bought a couple of tripods just because I was going to start to do some of this stuff anyway. And they do. You know what's the most popular thing out there, Preston, is this ring light attachment. Because you see they use them all, that, like, on TikTok and all that stuff.
I have one.
Yeah.
It didn't work very well, the one that I got.
You didn't love your lighting?
Nick Murphy had recommended it because I just wanted to, up the game a little bit. I wanted Facebook live videos to look a little bit better. So I got a microphone that didn't work very well. And I got a ring light, and I put it on. I'm like, this doesn't do anything. It's not. I think for that to really work, you need a pretty good size one.
Yeah,
to work. The ring light looks, I think where it looks interesting is in photos because you can see the reflection in their eyes.
Looks cool.
And you see that ring, and it looks pretty neat.
It is sort of science fiction-y.
But it does light you much, much better. And
does that go on the phone?
No, I didn't. It was on my laptop. Yeah, it clipped on to the top, kind of actually right up where your camera is. And yeah.
Yeah, because remember the one we had that went around the phone, but it was almost like a full case. Like, yes, you had to put it on, it was a case for your phone.
And the case lit up.
That actually worked pretty well.
It worked really well because it was a soft diffuse light. It wasn't as arch. So, yeah, on line one, present, this is pretty cool.
All right, I'll go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys, what's the deal?
What's up with you, buddy?
So, I actually used to work for a pretty large baking company that you guys might know from Camp Out for Hunger, but
okay.
we had a video conference of over like 40 or 50 people. It was like a company wide conference, and this was probably like a couple years ago, and someone started taking their shirt off and didn't realize they were still on the camera, that their camera was turned on.
Oh, God.
And you see his girlfriend start to bend over into a certain spot.
What?
Oh my God.
What?
Swear to God. Yeah, it was crazy. And he ended up getting fired like that week. But it was a pretty wild time.
When did this happen, Brian? How long ago?
This had to have been probably I haven't been there for a year, but I think it was probably 2 years ago or so.
Okay. All right.
Have they ever specifically mentioned that you can't have sex during a video conference call?
I'm in my own home.
Yeah. Seriously.
You're looking into my home.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I know probably level, it's probably not good for the boss to see you banging.
Yeah, but I mean, you're in the sanctity of your own realm.
My walls, my rules.
Right.
Exactly. Now, what were we saying about our budget?
People are texting in about that neck mount thing this guy says.
Yeah, here it is, Preston.
My girlfriend has
one. Connor brought it up.
Yeah, it's real stupid looking.
Yeah, it is.
But people won't see that.
Do you know what? Funny. I would make an attachment for a hoagie on that, too.
So yes.
You can just lean forward
and eat the hoagie like a harmonica.
Yeah, a whole tray of food.
Absolutely. It's $2.53. There's one that's $14. Basically the same unit, though.
It's the exact same unit.
The picture's reversed. Look at the difference in cost. $14.97, $2.53.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not. I thought it was Amazon. If it was Amazon, then you click on it, and the shipping makes up for it, and they end up being the same price.
Oh, really?
I'm so mad because I didn't realize, and I know I could have taken back the order, but Nick was talking about categories. I ordered it over the weekend. It was $17.99. And then I clicked on it, hit buy now, and then it came up and it said it was like $42. I was like,
what?
Oh, man, I
the
know.
Shipping?
Yeah, well, I don't even know. I wasn't, Kathy, I apologize. I wasn't paying attention to it. But whatever link I clicked on was the $17.99 link.
Oh.
But I ended up paying $40 for it. I hope my wife's not listening.
Well, listen, these are times that call. If you want to ensure some fun, you may have to spend a couple extra bucks. But in that, yeah, are you going to get one, Preston?
No. One of these neck things, it's too stupid looking. But Rochelle's been ordering stuff like crazy to keep our time occupied, and we'll get into some of the details on that. But she did get, I need to take a picture of this. She bought, and it's so wild, I was just thinking about this the other day. Occupied time, should you be stuck at home? And I'm like, I wonder if I should ever try making a ship in a bottle.
Wow.
And Rochelle ordered for Caroline.
Stop it.
But it's a Lego ship in a bottle.
Oh, okay.
It is so cool.
Is
she made it? I'll take a picture of it. It's so neat. So she's been ordering Lego stuff for us to put together just for fun.
By the way, my latest understanding here, and this seems to be the case, is that stuff comes in on a box from, you know, take it out of the box, get rid of the box. Anything that's on the box doesn't live long, but you know, err on the side of caution. But commerce can still maintain and continue that way through the shipping. And thank God for all the people out there, the truck drivers and everything, working hard to deliver this stuff to us.
Speaking of commerce, if you're having some issues, if you're a business owner, you definitely want to take a look at this. We have a 30-minute webinar, Crisis Management for Local Businesses, presented by Beezing Media. And you can just go to WMMR.com. It's right there. It's got insights, timely advice, relevant data. Nick's eating snacks. the crunching noise for some reason is coming from his end.
I scratched my head.
Well, stop doing it.
Stop moving.
Also, critical data points to enable your business to not only endure these times, but emerge stronger when it's over. So just you can register, go to WMMR.com and look for the crisis management for local businesses. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get to the B-File. Our friend Steph, who is from Philabundance, with some information when we return as well. We'll be back in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
So, yes, Nick is at home. We're trying out some stuff to see how it will be, if we need to split everybody up, if as we continue to try to adhere the cautionary tale of making sure that we keep our distances. So Nick is broadcasting. He's got a unit at his house. Marissa is working from home today. I think we're going to try Kathy out at her house tomorrow. And if we eventually all need to be, if there's one person here and everybody else is in separate spots, we'll know how to do it. So we're getting that ready to go. So hence Nick sounding a little bit different today. Nick, how is it working from home, Nick, doing radio from home?
Well, you know, I got up, I showered, I put on my three-piece suit, and I came to the office. I mean, there are benefits. I'm in my sweatpants and my slippers, but it's odd. I miss seeing you guys. It's a little different dynamic, obviously. Mm-hmm. The sound in my head is different, too. So, and we're so used to our physical locations every time we get into work every morning. You know, Preston, you're in your seat, and Steve, you're standing where you are, and I'm right next to Kathy, and Casey's on his side. And so that dynamic changes a little bit. But here's the other thing. Everybody at this point in life is adapting, right? We're just moving forward in whatever way we can. So this is kind of what we're doing, and you just get creative. And the ability to do this, to just have an app on an iPad and be able to talk to you guys with a relatively clear signal, is pretty impressive to me.
Yeah. You know, last week, Preston, you went over the things that you should do while working from home, and we all gave suggestions. I talked a lot about my mom. My mom worked from home for years, and the things that she did. She got up, she showered, got dressed, did makeup. The thought...
She contacted all the Johns.
No, but listen, so tomorrow, like you said, we're going to try me out at home as well. The first thing I thought of was, I am not getting dressed and I'm not putting makeup on. And I was like, wait, that was like the number one suggestion that I gave.
Yes.
When
talking
about working from home.
Try out the first day as a slob and then see how you feel. And then maybe you'll want to change it up.
Around the home when you were just chilling, I mean, do you get up on set? I assume that you sort of go through a ritual, right?
Yes. But listen, if I do not have to put makeup on, I don't. Like, I said to myself, I am not putting makeup on until this is all over and I have to come back to work.
Okay. I get the image of Kathy like Ben Stiller at the end of Dodgeball, you know, once he lets himself
go on
the
ice.
No, but listen, not like it's like I wear tons and tons of makeup, but it's just like it almost feels better. Like, it feels like a little, I don't have to put all that gunk on my face. I can kind of keep it clear and just...
F and Chuck Norris.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, with all this going on, B-Files coming up in a moment. We got to do this first.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
We had some advancements over the weekend, and we continue with day number two of the matchups. And this matchup comes from our Annabelle section.
Annabelle.
We're going with a number two seed. It is the Preacher Defends His Private Jet is number one. What will that go against? We'll find out after I play the clip. So this is Preacher Defends Private Jet.
You think that people that fly commercial are demons?
Yes, I do. I do. I really do. Because it's a bunch of nonsense. We're talking the scum of the earth to fly commercial. Have you ever been on a fly with the kid kicking the back of your seat? That ain't no way to live. I got the Lord's work to do.
That's right.
Look, I just want the money. And I really like to fly in style. Look at the car I'm driving. Yeah. What did you drive up here in a Prius? So who's winning this match?
All right. So that is number one. And the Preacher Private Jet is going up against a number 15 seed. And I really like this clip, or at least this this Daily Rush video. The King's Speech 2, been come to known as.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. In royal correspondent Katie Nichols' new book, Kate, the Future Queen, she writes, there on the Paradise Island, William promised Kate that he was in the relationship for the long term. For the very first time, they talked seriously about marriage. And with the ocean before them, and beneath the night sky, they made a pact to marry.
My dearest Kate, I love you.
What island were they on, does it say?
It says the Paradise Island. By the way, is this the entire clip?
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. just with the confusion of everything, of whether or not this thing got edited down or not.
I don't think it did, because the Preacher Defends the Jet was 23 seconds long. This one is about 3 minutes long.
Oh, we should probably not play that whole
We're
thing.
We're not going to sit through the whole thing, but at some point, he goes into the Ben Come to Known As speech.
So the website, obviously, is updated with all the stuff. Do you have time, if you'd like to, you know, obviously, check out the clips. I think we could probably have a much higher voting ratio this year than we had last year, because
yeah,
people are looking for things to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I would recommend to not just vote. I would watch the clips and then vote. You
yes.
know, you want an informed voter, right?
Please.
Inform yourself.
I want the proper video to win. So,
yes.
So if you would watch before you vote, that'd be wonderful. All right. Anyhow, you know what that's all about. So it's Preacher Defense Private Jet against the King's Speech, been come to known as. So get the voting now. Let's do the B-File. We're going to talk to a friend after that.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I got some stories for you. Let's begin with this one. A man got naked from the waist down and made lewd gestures at an underage girl after he crashed into the car that she was in. This was in Florida, of all places.
I think just getting nude was a lewd gesture.
Yeah, deputy said 23-year-old Cody Hicks was driving erratically Friday and crashed into a car with two females inside. After the crash, Hicks pulled down his pants and underwear while standing in the middle of the street and began touching his unit while sticking his tongue out at witnesses.
Does he misunderstand how you perform CPR?
Hicks is also accused of asking the underage victim if she wanted to participate in an act while he had his unit exposed.
What are they going to do? Who's on first?
Deputy said Hicks refused to cooperate with the investigation and would only answer with, "I want my lawyer," when he was asked a question.
Okay.
He's arrested on a lewd and lascivious exhibition charge. Malcolm Brenner, a self-confessed zoophile who claims he had an affair with a dolphin called Dolly after she seduced him.
That little hussy.
And is now 68 years old. Malcolm was still a student when he embarked on the relationship with the bottlenose dolphin in the 1970s.
This reminds me of The Boys, Preston.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Dude wants to bang
right.
dolphins.
You're right. Yeah. He has written a novel called Wet Goddess, which tells the story of a young man who has a sexual relationship with a dolphin named Ruby while he's working at a theme park. Malcolm has admitted the book is autobiographical and based on his own experiences. He said, "I wrote the book for dolphins because we are mistreating these animals by keeping them in captivity."
How do they turn the pages?
That's a good question. Malcolm claims to have been in his early 20s when he started his relationship with Dolly. He was a photographer and was allowed to take pictures in the pool at a former theme park in Sarasota where he lived. The student was allowed to swim with the dolphins and soon formed a close bond with Dolly, and apparently she seduced him.
I guess audiobooks.
He said, "I was given free access to the dolphins, and I became friends with her by going swimming with her. She was very special," he said.
Oh, my God, this sounds horrific.
Malcolm claims that Dolly announced her intentions toward
him.
I
really love you.
By positioning herself so he was rubbing against her. So
that is all levels of disgusting.
It is, isn't it? All right. A drunk Florida man thanked a good Samaritan who gave him a place to stay when he couldn't get home by peeing all over his bedroom and then attacking him.
All right.
What he does.
Huh.
The victim said that he was at a party on Saturday when he met Colin Gieb, who described as a friend of a friend. Gieb was drunk, didn't have a way to get home, and couldn't provide his address, so the victim took him back to his place so he could have a safe place to be. The victim allowed Gieb to sleep in a room, and he went to sleep in another room for the night. Sunday morning, the victim heard noises from the house and found Gieb, quote, peeing everywhere in the room.
Listen, I don't have any money, but I wanted to thank you, so I pissed all over your stuff, and now I'm going to attack you.
Police said the victim repeatedly asked Gieb to leave, but Gieb wouldn't, and instead became upset and turned violent. He said he came at me with his penis out and attacked me. Gieb, who's 6 feet tall and 170 pounds, punched the man multiple times, attempted to choke him and push him into a wall before the victim was able to wrestle Gieb out the front door and call police.
Get that penis out of here.
When asked about the incident, Gieb said, "You heard the whole story. There's nothing I need to tell you." And then he asked,
Why am I here?
Sha-la-la-la.
Police said they found blood at the front door, holes in the walls, and a room saturated with pee.
Wow. The guy's trying to be a good Samaritan.
Gieb was arrested on charges of battery, indecent exposure, and property damage as well. All right, and then we will do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. Let's go with this one. Deputies say a man is facing charges after falsely claiming to have coronavirus, which led to the shutdown of a company in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Jeffrey Travis Long falsely claimed that he had COVID-19, causing the company to shut down for 5 days. And the sheriff, Chuck Wright, said, seems to me the fellow just wanted a 2-week paid vacation.
Oh, come on.
Well, you know, yeah.
The sheriff says Long used a forged doctor's excuse and submitted the excuse to his child's school. Long's primary care doctor confirmed that he had not visited the medical center in the past 2 weeks and did not have a confirmed case of coronavirus. Additionally, the doctor confirmed that the submitted letter was a fraud.
My patient has coronavirus.
Long is no longer employed at the company. He's been charged with breach of peace and forgery by the police department in connection with the letter sent to the school. He's being held in the county detention center on $10,200 bond. Wow. So they are taking that very seriously.
As well they should, yeah.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Okay, we have a friend who's on the line. Saw this really cool thing. The radio station retweeted it, reposted an Instagram post from our buddy Rob McElhenney and Caitlin Olson, who we just had on the show the other day. And they've started a fundraiser for Philabundance.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And so Philabundance is open. They are operating. They need your help as well. So we want to welcome our friend Stephanie Ark Bynes, who is on the program this morning from Philabundance. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm great. How are you all doing?
Doing well. So that's cool that you saw this with Always Sunny, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw when you had Caitlin on your show last week, she mentioned supporting Philabundance, and then we saw when Rob went on and did the GoFundMe page, and we're just incredibly humbled and grateful for the awareness, for the funds, for any support that anybody can give us right now. But certainly when celebrities do it, it gets a little bit more notice.
Right. All right. So as I was saying at the top, you guys are open for business, correct?
We sure are. We're considered an essential service, helping feed the 700,000 people who generally face hunger, as well as many, many more who are impacted by the loss of jobs, by school being closed, by needing to quarantine themselves. So, yeah, we're open for the long haul.
So you guys are also looking for assistance. What type of help do you need?
We can use all kinds of assistance. I mean, certainly we had a lot of volunteers who are canceling for fears for their health, which we totally understand. But in order to get food out, we do still need volunteers. But for those people who aren't comfortable going into our warehouse, where we are initiating some additional safety practices there, people can help from home, log on to philabundance.org. They can donate funds. They can start a virtual food drive, which helps us get in the food that we need, which right now is mostly shelf-stable items since we don't know how long we're all going to be quarantined. And people can also do things like follow us on social media, share the message, because the more people who help, the more people we're able to help.
Well, we're definitely looking at, you know, obviously things are up in the air and we are, you know, moving through this. So that's one of the confounding parts of this. We have an idea of what they would like to see, but we don't know if that'll be met. So you're left in a precarious position. If someone were to come in and, you know, and work in the warehouse, I assume you guys are taking the proper precautions to make sure people are safe if they are in there doing the manual labor, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been cutting down the number of people who can volunteer so that we can ensure safe social distancing. We've been cleaning the facility before and after every shift even more rigorously than we generally do. We've been going over the CDC guidelines for safe hand washing. We have gloves. We have jackets. You know, anything that we can think of to do to keep our volunteers and staff safe, that's what we're doing.
So obviously, you know, you see the stuff come out and you see obviously the guidelines, and what we're looking to do is to be as strict as we can now so that we avoid that erratic curve that overwhelms the system. And hopefully this effort for the next couple of weeks will help ensure that. But the one thing we know is that hunger's year round. So you don't want to be, you know, that far behind the eight ball on this, that when you come out the other end, it's you know, you're looking at years of trying to get back up to a stable situation. So, you know, for people to donate at home or to donate, obviously, financially the way Rob and Kate did, obviously they donate a lot, but every little bit is going to help to make sure on the other side we're not in ultra, ultra dire situation, correct?
That's right. I mean, like you mentioned, you guys, I mean, we're so grateful for all that you guys do, especially around Camp Out for Hunger, but you mention us and support us all the time. And, you know, especially in this time of need, I'm really grateful that you let me come on the radio and talk to all of your listeners who are also excellent supporters of Phil Abundance. But yes, right now we have a specific need for shelf-stable items. We are putting together emergency boxes. $25 will help provide two boxes for a family of four, and that's just throughout this crisis. But yes, you know, any support that people can give us will help us. Whenever this gets better, hunger will still be a problem, and probably worse than usual for a while as people get back to work, as school's back in session. It could be summer, unfortunately, before things get better, and then kids are out of school and they're missing their school meals.
And it would be wise to consider that. Again, it will be over, but it could be a longer haul. So you got to get that in your mind, but we will get through this. And at the other end of it, the one thing that maintains is the fact that people are always in need of food. So you guys are doing great work.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you guys so much. Be well. Stay safe.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. All right, Stephanie. Abundance. And they need some help. And listen, if you need something to do, and as long as you follow safety guidelines, everything should be solid because there's still help that needs to be done.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Kevin Smith will be joining us in about 45 minutes or so. So stay close. We'll be back shortly.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're trying some stuff out today. Nick is at his house. He's got a broadcast unit at home. We're trying things and see how they pan out. Should we end up in a position where we all need to be at home while the show's going on, that we have that capability. Marissa is also working from home today. Marissa, I know you're listening. Getting texts that are coming in saying that the streaming is down on the app. So
what?
Marissa usually handles that type of thing. If you could take a look at that. And maybe get working on that. So our buddy Connor, our production assistant, is helping produce the program today. He's in the other room with us. We need to do just setting all that stuff up, but we need to do the Daily Rush Madness. Let's do it.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, our next matchup comes from the Hey Bitches region, and the two videos facing each other are a number three seed, The Bachelor Got Hard and Can't Find the Door.
Oh, I don't remember this one.
Against a number 14 seed. Wow, this is number 14. The Texas Butthole Tickling Bandit.
Wow.
I know.
That's,
I love that
heavy
one.
That's one of your favorites.
All right, let's take a listen to The Bachelor Can't Find the Door. Just a little clip to remind you.
What happened?
You cheated on her.
What?
Yeah.
This is about you.
You did.
Oh, punch me in the face.
If I ever see me in a bar, look out.
The, quote, revenge bod I've tried to joke about isn't some new diet trend. It's because I've been physically sick.
I'd love to see Capra on The Bachelor.
You ladies are sick. One of you is going to get a rose, and the others aren't. It's going to make you feel sick if you don't get one. Can I have a second?
All right, so that's video number one. By the way, a lot of texts coming in. The streaming is working just fine.
Yay!
The app is working fine.
So, yay!
So you're the problem, that one person. You.
You. I'm the disease. You're the cure. All right. Or you're the cure. I'm the disease.
And then the Texas butthole tickling bandit. Let's hear a little clip of that.
Wait a second. What are you doing?
I'm tickling your butthole.
Why are you doing that? Who are you?
I broke in to tickle your butthole.
Why are you doing that?
I like it.
Go away.
All right.
Come on, man. Just tickle your butthole.
I love that one.
That was a bizarre file story, true story in Texas.
Yeah.
All right, so who's going to win that matchup? You need to go to the website and vote. You have all day to do it. We're just highlighting these as we go along. So the Bachelor got hard and can't find the door versus the Texas butthole tickling bandit. Daily Rush Madness continues. And that's on PrestonandSteve.com. So a couple things to talk about here. Both of them involve anxiety.
Yes, and dealing with.
Do we want to go with Casey's anxiety or Kathy's anxiety?
Let's go with Casey's first.
Okay.
And then it leads into Kathy's.
It leads into Kathy's. Okay. I saw, Casey, that you posted on Twitter this beautiful, looked like a tiger jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
And you had all the pieces spread out. Time killer. How did that work out?
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to kill some time. So, long story short, I hate freaking puzzles. I hate them!
How many pieces?
It's a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Oh, dude, you started with 1,000 pieces.
So well, listen, it's not like I've never put a puzzle together, okay? I've definitely put a 500-piece puzzle together.
Yeah, yeah.
And one that has, like, pretty much all the same colors.
That's part of the problem, is that they pretty much have all the same colors. I don't think that the picture on the cover of the puzzle box is as accurate as it should be, because obviously, Preston, you do puzzles.
Yep.
What do you start with?
The border.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of problems here. The puzzle was attempted to be started a few weeks ago back in the back room, and it got abandoned, and pieces got left out on the table and blah, 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 blah. So I transferred said puzzle over to our dining room area, and I laid out all the puzzle pieces. As I'm putting it together, I'm doing the border. I've got all the pieces for the border. And I'm like, man, I honestly feel like some pieces are missing here. So I go back into the other room, and sure enough, some pieces were missing.
Oh, man.
And then I go back in, and I'm putting it together again. I go, man, there's still some pieces missing here. And then I went, and I checked this trunk in that back room, and even more pieces I found in there. And I'm like, dude, I bet you, because I can't put this border together. I cannot find, and I'm
now
doing,
you're anxious.
Now I'm getting anxious, and I went in there to A, kill time, and B, kind of clear my mind,
distract me from all the stuff that's going on.
So what I ended up doing is I went into that room. The first Fish concert I ever went to was on December 15th, 1995. I put that concert. I hadn't listened to that concert since the day I went there. I'm like, I'm going to listen to this. It's going to be like 2 to 3 hours of music.
It's
gonna
I'm going
to sit here. It's going to be great. And then at the same time, my dogs are now fighting all over the room where I'm at. And I'm like, so I just got so super duper anxious that I just abandoned it. I didn't put all the puzzle pieces back just yet, but this puzzle's impossible.
Are you by yourself doing this?
I was mostly by myself. Okay. People would trickle into the room.
It's more fun if you get somebody helping you out.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So here's what we do is we've been doing this for months. A few months ago, I'm like, you know what? When we have a family puzzle going on, it's kind of fun. And you don't sit down and go, I am going to put this puzzle together. You kind of pick at it. You play. It's like reading a book.
Yeah.
You read a couple chapters, and then you set it down, then you come back to it later on. So what we'll do is when we decide we want to work on it,
right?
I've found out that I love doing this. We'll sit down to the puzzle, and then I'll put on disco music.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Disco music or 80s music.
Yeah, you said that. That's
weird. And it's so that you can mindlessly sing along to the song while you're doing the singing. You're going, YMCA, Dancing Queen. You know, I mean, it's, you know, all that stuff. And, but Case, number one, if you went with a 1,000-piecer to kind of get back into this, that's a little bit of an that's a bit of a commitment. That's a bit much.
Hey, Press, yep. I got time.
Okay.
Well, I got the time. No, but the problem, and it's not. I definitely have the time. The problem is, there are pieces missing.
Well, then that's a problem with the puzzle. Yeah. You can't complete a puzzle with the puzzle pieces missing.
But
so get rid of that puzzle.
Well, how much of the border did you make?
I think, I don't know if I took a picture of it or not. Let me show you.
Because even if there are a handful of pieces missing, you've got a lot of them are going to go together.
There's other things you can do.
Yeah, so that's basically, and then one corner I thought was the bottom left-hand corner. As it turns out, it was actually the bottom right-hand corner, and I figured all that sort of stuff out.
If I did knowingly have pieces of a puzzle missing, I'd just scrap it and get another one. So,
Steve, I don't know about you, but if I did a 1,000-piece puzzle in my house, it would become 1,000 little cat toys.
Oh, yeah.
I can't, like you said, Preston, just, you know, leave it out. You don't have to do it in one sitting. If I left that on my kitchen table, it would be all over the place.
Cats get up on the table?
Well, oh, my God, so annoying.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and my cat Hubert would be like, jump up and then just lay down and sprawl across. That said, though, I think I remember from years ago when there was a time when I might indulge in puzzles periodically, I remembered that things that were structures like barns or that were easier to get started with as opposed to amorphous sort of thing.
Well, yeah. If you want a puzzle that's easier, you want one that has large sections of clearly definable colors.
Yeah.
Right.
That are different. And that way you can take all the pieces. Here's all the red ones. Let me put them all together.
Right.
Here's all the black ones. Let me put them together. And then you work on those little parts.
Oh, not one that's just primarily orange?
Yeah,
with a couple of pieces of black stripes
in
it?
Exactly.
I mean, it's a tiger. Yeah. Uh-huh. Even tigers go up to each other. Is that you, Lou?
Yeah.
We did a hard one not that long ago. It was a mountain scene, but it had a reflective lake. So it's essentially two of the same thing.
Oh, you're just looking to effort yourself. Yeah.
But we stuck with it, and we got it done.
How long?
They did have a competition, an international competition. You remember this. And those puzzles were things pressed in like one color. Where for the experts, where you're just, and I would eat a bullet before I do that.
I wouldn't be able to do it at all. Rochelle's much better at it than I am. She's, as far as shapes go, I'm like, square peg in a round hole. This will fit.
Yeah,
it'll work. And I'm bad with shapes.
There was also a problem with the lighting in the room as well. And so the lights were off. No, lighting is key.
Yeah, you got a reflection on it.
I got a reflection. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Is the glass top, is your tabletop glass? Or
no, but it's got a nice sheen to it.
Yeah. If you get too much direct light on it, it reflects and it's hard to see the pieces. I know what you're talking about.
You know what you can do? And I mean, this is there are puzzle games that are literal puzzle pieces on your iPad and on your computer.
Yeah.
Where, and actually, it's easier to do it like on an iPad where you can physically with your finger move the piece over, and they're actually not too bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We put on either disco or 80s music, just stuff that's just
that's cool,
just kind of mindless songs that are easy to sing and do something else at the same time.
It's funny because I do the same. Like when I work out a lot of times, if I have my little gym set up in my basement. When I do that, I put on like QVC because I'm hearing people talking and they're talking about a dust mop or something, but I'm not being distracted by it.
So, Case, you're going to, I think you should get a different puzzle.
That's the thing. I bought two puzzles for Diane for Christmas. That was one of them. And then the other one I'll probably break out. I'll take this puzzle currently.
She hasn't even taken a crack at these puzzles.
No, she did. She came over. She was the one who initially started it. I think she started it in the wrong room. I think she probably should have did it in the room that I did it in. But I'm going to take that puzzle and I'm going to turn it into kindling for my next fire.
Do a fire pit.
Yeah.
And I think that's less anxiety and more anger, more frustration. Now, Kathy, on the other hand, is dealing with an anxiety issue.
Yeah, I think so. So I was saying, you know, obviously there's so much going on, and it's all we talk about. I told Preston earlier this morning, I'm sick of talking about coronavirus. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So I feel maybe like a little anxious, but nothing over the top, except that whenever I get very, very stressed, and I've gone to the doctor about it before, and we've talked about it, and they think that it is very much stress related, but I actually get a little bit of blurred vision.
Really?
And then I get
gassy?
No, you guys know what floaters are in
yes.
your eyes.
Yeah.
But I'll get like it almost looks like hundreds of them are coming by at the same
Whoa.
Time, and I have to like stop and sit for a second and wait for it to pass, and almost like either close my eyes or blink a bunch, and then it kind of passes. But like, I don't feel like there are wow. times in my life where I've felt very stressed, overly stressed. And I'm like, oh, the vision thing is going to come. Like right now, I didn't think, oh, I'm so stressed. It's going to happen. But it's happening.
Yeah.
Right now?
No, not this.
Oh,
not
just
this second.
Recently. Okay,
yeah, recently.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you and then it passes?
Yeah, it'll pass. You know what? Whenever I work out, it goes away. It completely goes away.
So how did you find this information out?
About what?
That it correlates to anxiety?
So I've gone to my eye doctor about it, and he said it is probably stress-related. Because because he checks my vision, and my vision is fine. It's not like my vision is going. So he said things like this can happen with any type of stress or anxiety. And then there's something else that's been happening to me since I was a teenager. If I get super stressed, I get hives sometimes in certain spots, and I'm breaking out on my hands with little red bumps, basically.
No kidding.
So, but you yourself, you're just not actually feeling it manifesting, but you're just sort of in a suppressed way.
Right.
Because you don't feel overwhelmed, but there's enough to make you sort of go, oh.
That's got to be what it is.
Casey has this good puzzle. It's a tiger puzzle.
Yeah.
That really might help.
Here's a text coming in. It says, Kathy, same. You're not alone with the vision thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's crazy. What do you think, besides things are going on right now, what gives you the most stress?
You mean like in life?
Yeah. I mean, what is the one thing
paying for shipping?
I mean, if that $40 shipping price would have drove me off a bridge, I guess. I don't know. There's a number of things.
Clutter, I know, definitely bothers you.
Well, no, not stuff like that. Like, I'm talking
about real life
problems.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, concern about another's well-being.
Yeah.
You know, you've had some serious stuff happen in your family. And I've been aware of that, so.
Yeah, stuff like that is more so. Yeah, Case, not like clutter or shipping prices.
I think it's the way we handle things. And, like, early on in my life, when my mom was, you know, I mean, so I was just 20, and my mom was, you know, really sick, and she had a lot of cancer issues and so on and so forth. And you start to. I watched her do this thing, and it was the thing that I always say. And you take the situation to the absolute worst, and then everything back is a plus. And that's how she did it. So even though she was going through hellacious stuff, her ability to sort of compartmentalize and say, yes, that's horrible, but there's this.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you learn to appreciate things a lot more. But, you know, still, you're just naturally going to get, a little bit anxious. And then you go do your incomplete puzzle, and that'll calm you down.
I haven't, with all this, with the tamp downs and everything, I haven't had anxiety, but I did catch myself a couple of times. Maybe even over the weekend, and I'm surrounded by my family in my house, but just a slight sense of loneliness, which is kind of odd because, and, you know, you don't know what you got until it's gone is the type of thing, or don't, you know, be careful what you ask for, because I tend to, on the weekends, I don't want to do much. I just very rarely want to go out or do anything. I want to slow down and relax and take it easy. And now there's all this time to do that, and now I want to do something. You know what I mean?
So I understand that.
It's the reverse of that.
I also understand because so much of what we do socially is through work. And so at home, I tend to be a homebody. I tend to be, you know, at home and just, you know, with my wife, and that's the deal, and our cats and so on and so forth. And even in the house, we were doing our different things. So I'm sort of used to this, I think to our previous conversation, Preston, that's where the social the apps will allow you to get that.
And I was thinking about the people who live alone, who live a fairly solitary life, and I was thinking, wow, I wonder how absolutely lonely this is. If I feel like I'm a little bit lonely, and I've got, you know, five people in my household, but as opposed to 20 years ago or something like that, it's pretty easy not just picking up the phone, but to visually have somebody to have some feedback with. It's pretty cool, unless you don't have any friends or family. And that's, you really got to feel lonely.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But there are opportunities to engage
right
in different ways now, and even in group settings like we were talking about with the conferencing.
Right. And there was also, by the way, as you can, and people, you know, like tomorrow the weather's going to be nice. You can go out into your yard and talk to your neighbor.
I mean, I've seen more people walking around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Than I have in a long time.
Right. Yeah. And
except
so,
for like the first few awesome spring days where everybody comes out.
Right.
You know,
so. Right. But still, you
that's right.
So here's the deal, by the way, too. And we were talking about this with Kathy about when you're out and about. Obviously, you know, it's be respectful of your distance out there. But outside, you can be, again, there was a story, I don't know if you have it, about this. These people had their wedding out on the street in New York,
yeah.
And everyone was watching from their windows, and the officiant was from another window, and they did it, and they, I guess it's like a Universal Life Church of Modesto, California, whatever this person's ability was to officiate the wedding, but they did it, and they were separated, and that's cool. So
hey guys,
yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to chime in on the neighbor thing because I've lived in my house for about 2 years, a little more than 2 years. I've encountered and chatted with neighbors this week and this weekend that I had never spoken to before. Mm-hmm. And it was because we were all outside, and it gave us the opportunity to meet people that I'd never met before. And obviously, Steve, you know, keeping the distance and being respectful of that. But it's in a weird way, I've become social with people that I had never been social with before.
Yeah, and that's that when there's something really wonderful about getting out and just feeling, you know, the sun, like tomorrow will be good weather. Take advantage. Don't say, oh, I'll wait till the next day. Get out and spend some time.
Well, that's what I keep saying. So I was talking to a few of my friends who have not left their house since last week. They, you know, they're a little more stressed than some of us, and they haven't left their house. And I said, just keep in mind, you can still go outside, and I don't even mean to Martin Luther King Drive to go for a walk if you don't want to. Go sit in your own backyard. She has a deck. Sure. She can go outside. I'm like, it doesn't mean that you can't go outside. So you and the kids go outside on your own back deck. Just you don't have to sit in the house the entire time.
I've done takeout. I've done I go and I follow the rules. You bring the wrapper into the house. You get rid of the wrapper. You take the food out. You do the deal. You go to the store. I went to my Acme. Everyone was social distancing. It was fine. I went to the self-checkout, got to the car, did the, I have a little hand sanitizer in the car, took care of that, followed proper protocol. You're fine. You can go out and see people.
Sure.
But to Preston, to your point, to isolate yourself where you're not encountering anybody, that's not going to help.
Do you remember the days, Steve, way back in days of yore?
Yes.
Let's take the family. Let's go for a drive.
Yes. Go for a drive.
And Caroline and I have been doing that each evening, just going out for a little drive.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, going down roads we've never gone down before and just kind of listening to music and socializing. It's nice.
Your car is fine.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course it is.
Yes.
You got a great neighborhood to drive in, like all those like long, windy country Montgomery County roads.
Oh yeah, there's a lot to explore, which is cool. But I'm saying, yeah, I mean, I think people know they can go outside, but if you just are looking for something to do, go drive around for a little bit too. It's a nice kind of just, you know, sightsee a little
and try to avoid the anxiety. I mean, we got time left, but we will get out of this.
Speaking of anxiety, I want to double back because Kathy, people are texting in and saying they have the similar thing with the vision when they get anxious and also the hives. I want to ask you, and I think I'm the only one that ever notices this with Kathy because she sits directly across from
me,
and I see her all the time. I have a direct view of her. So she has, she does this thing all morning long where she checks which eye is blurry or not.
Oh, yeah. So, no, Casey noticed it.
Do you notice
it?
She closes one eye and then the other. Opens it and then the other. It's like the camera one, camera two thing from Wayne's World.
You do it
way more than you realize.
You know what? And I think it's just like something I've done for years, I guess. Like, yeah. I have so many eye issues that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I wasn't sure if that was tied into the anxiety thing or not.
It might be.
Oh, okay.
It might be. I don't know.
You pick your nose a lot. So when you do, do you cause pressure on because you're wearing contacts?
No,
does that cause it to shift? Because you really dig in there.
Stop it. Yeah. But you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, you're getting a migraine. I've had a migraine, and I've had that line that goes across your eye when you get the migraine. I've had that. So this is different.
This is different. Yeah, those are ocular migraines. Yeah. And there's also, I think they call it... is it aura? You'll see these strange colors sometimes.
Yeah.
People who have intense migraines. So that's not.
No, this is different.
These are floaters.
Yeah, floaters and almost like a blurred,
upper deckers.
Blurred vision for a second. No, I've never had that.
Wow, interesting.
Upper deckers are different in the optical world.
Yeah, that's when you take a dump in the top tank of the toilet, right? That's an upper
that's
decker.
That's exactly right. And you would know that. You'd know if you had one of those.
Yeah. I think we're going to start a new puzzle, by the way, Casey. We got this discussion started with puzzles. Rochelle had bought like six of them recently because I was looking for something for us to do as a family. And a couple months ago, we had a puzzle and I threw it out on the table and I didn't even say anything. I just threw it out there and they just kind of took to it. And, you know, it took about a week and we got it done. So I went and bought a few more. We did those. So she had ordered a bunch a couple weeks back. So we got plenty of little projects to get on.
I taught my family how to play Texas Hold'em. So I have I have this cool little poker tabletop that goes into a little case and then unfolds. You just put it on the kitchen table or whatever. And we sat and we played that. We had to get through the first two or three hands of my son going all in right away.
all in. Yeah. Wow. He's a riverboat gambler.
He's going all in with like an 8-2 offsuit. And I'm like, what are you? Oh, my God.
He's got to learn.
Maybe
it's better that he remain a bad gambler, though, rather than him getting addicted. So as anxiety games, I mean, I think there are some that a lot of these things are going to be conducive to relaxing you. But I think there's a whole wealth of like your
oh. Let's play Risk. I want to kill people. I was
right.
Just forget it, man. All right. Well, anyhow, everybody's doing their own coping and sometimes having fun doing it too. Like the Daily Rush Madness, give you something to do too. So we'll tell you what the next matchup is. We need to take a break. We're going to do that very thing. We'll come back in a little bit. And we'll remind you that Mr. Kevin Smith is going to be joining us from California. We'll see how he's doing. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Vixen 77. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Vixen 77, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Got Nick, who is broadcasting from his home today. We're trying out some equipment remotely just to see how it works in case we do need to split up to thin out the numbers a little bit. Marissa is working from home as well. But, Nick, you there on the line as well?
I am, yeah, and it's an interesting experiment, but I think it's going pretty well so far.
Yeah, and we're gonna give it a shot with Kathy at her home tomorrow, and we'll see how all this stuff works out. Should we need to be doing that on a regular basis?
The mindset is to get us past this so that Casey can make the Fish concert in the latter part of the summer for us.
Oh my God, yes. When is that?
So there's one in July and three in August, and then there's also an Eagle season right on the heels of that August Fish run.
Yeah, put it in context. Put it in priority.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please. Let's not forget. Take your eye off the ball.
Yeah, don't you take this away from me, America.
Now with this change in lifestyle patterns and all that stuff, you know, we wanted to just reach out to various friends in and around the world and see how things are going with them and what they're doing in the meantime, because everybody's had to change a little bit in their life. Yeah. Some have had to change a lot in their life.
I've heard the phrase coming together by being apart, and it's sort of an interesting thing, and really it is sort of happening.
Yep. So please welcome our friend to the program, Mr. Kevin Smith.
Yay!
He's on the line. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I was fascinated by the 12-second traffic report. It never occurred to me that there is no more traffic. Like the roads are empty. Yeah. We're in Walking Dead times. Yeah. I'm nuts.
Yeah.
You know, we've actually.
How are you, kid?
We're doing well, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It's just you know, adjusting to some odd things and people's schedules are off just a little bit. But other than that, you know, we're business as usual on the radio.
I too am kind of business as usual because I, like, when I'm not on the road or out of the house, like, I spend every waking moment in the house. So when they were like, everyone's got to lock down, I was like, done and done. And I just came off the road, man. Like, I was on, I was at 67 cities in three countries over the course of 4 months.
Wow.
During the Jane Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow Tour. So our tour ended, thank the Lord, man. Thanks, Mod. Our tour ended just as they were like, everybody stay home, because it would have like destroyed the tour, to say the very least. But we finished our tour. I was out there for so long. I was touching on people, like, because not only were we seeing 1,500 people a night, but then we'd have VIP photos afterwards. And every time someone, I'm like, hey, and I'd give them a big hug and then take a photo and then hug them again. And I never even got a cold while I was on the road. So I think my immune system is pretty good regardless.
Well, do you anything, though? Do you do anything extra to help with your immune system?
No. I honestly, post heart attack, you know, I kind of changed my life and went way healthier than I'd ever been. So I think, like, I've got enough vitamins in the old system that I didn't, like, that whole stretch, I didn't even get a cold. I honestly thought during the 4 months of the tour that I'd, you know, wind up not getting a flu, but at least get a cold. But every night I got up and spoke and never lost my voice because I never got sick. So I probably, like, patient zero. I'm probably carrying it.
You are, unbeknownst to you, you're patient zero. I would say this, though. Yeah, likewise with healthy living and diet and so on and so forth. Obviously, there are people with extenuating circumstances. But I have, like, for me, the only thing that will do me in is if it's like a, an intestinal thing, like diarrhea and all that stuff. Those things always waylay me. But for the most part, this stuff, now, Corona is obviously something to be serious about. But I chuckled when you said about your lifestyle not being impacted much. Because as with you, most of our social stuff occurs through our job. And when the day is over, I like to be a homebody and stay at home. Do you, even though, you know, you're used to this, do you find yourself getting a little antsy?
Not in the least, man. I wasn't dreaming about this scenario, and I wouldn't wish this scenario on anybody, on the country, on the world. It's terrible. That being said, like, you know, as the tour was closing, I was like, oh, it's going to be nice to get home. But then I was going to be going back out on the road. Like, we had a movie. My friend made a documentary about me called Clerk that was going to premiere at South by Southwest. So I was going to be heading out to South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. I was doing a gig in Jersey. We were opening a Smod Castle, a little theater in the Quick Stop building in Leonardo, New Jersey on 420 and stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be home for 2 minutes and I'm going to be back on the road and stuff. So suddenly now being forced to be home allows me to kick back and write Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2. You know, that's what cool. I'm going to do.
Okay. Hey, so I wanted to ask you, just going back to what you were talking about with Kathy's traffic report. Now it seems like it would be the perfect time for any filmmaker who needed to do any sort of outside scenes that would require there to be no cars on the road. Now would be the perfect time to do
stock
that.
Footage might be a good idea, right? Yeah.
Remember how, you know how much money they paid to, like, shut down a few blocks in New York to shoot Vanilla Sky?
No, how much does that cost?
I Am Legend.
Yeah, I mean,
remember I Am Legend? Like, the people who worked on Vanilla Sky, I spoke to people who worked on Vanilla Sky, kids who had come up in the industry, and they were, like, PAs on that movie. And there were two PAs I spoke to on that movie who were on another movie later on with me who had better positions, like, they kind of raised up in the industry. But they were like, when we were making Villain of Sky, man, I was a PA. I was given $1,000 cash. And anybody who ran or was walking toward the street, toward that shot where Tom Cruise walks in the middle of Times Square and it's all empty and stuff, anybody who got close to where the shot was, we were permitted to run up to them and be like, I'll give you $50 to not move.
They just had pocket money that they were going to hand out to people. Wow, that's really amazing.
Been running around Times Square dashing, man, like Sonic.
Well, now
50 here and there. But yeah, so like that I Am Legend when they did, Will Smith was in New York City, was completely shut down and stuff. That too was a very expensive shutdown that you can only afford to do at a certain time of day. There's only a certain angle, but they will, you know, the city will work with you, particularly if you're in a giant movie like that, and shut down that many blocks. And, you know, of course, New Yorkers hate it like poison and stuff because it's tough enough to get around that city anyway. But then when you see the movie, you're like, oh, that's great. Now in the age of CG, you know, you could just kind of erase people and stuff. But you're absolutely right. Like, who was it? The guy who directed Rogue One. He directed Godzilla, and before that, he just did this movie. It was a big monster movie. Gareth Edwards.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
He shot, like, I think it was called Monsters or something like that. But basically, he shot footage at disaster areas. So if, like, a hurricane came through or a flood or something, he would go shoot and have his characters be like, look what they did, you know, talking about these fictional monsters. And then he only needed the monsters in a few shots. It's really smart. inexpensive filmmaking. So, yes, you're absolutely right. To go back to your point, if you're a filmmaker who is looking to do, like, a desolate landscape, now's the time to run out and do it for cheap. Man.
They call it making lemonade from a pandemic. By the way, the movie Monsters is a great movie, and you brought that up. That was sort of a quiet little movie that sort of snuck in. I caught it by happenstance. And what they did with a shoestring budget with these creatures and this whole thing is really wild. It's a great movie. I wanted to bring up.
You know what it does? It uses well what's not there.
Yeah.
Like they use the landscape that looks like it's been wrecked by a monster and then talk about it as if it had been there. Another ingenious use of something that's not there. Like the Invisible Man movie that you can now like stream at home, but I saw it in the theaters a couple weeks ago. It's only $7 million, man. And I was like, what? And then I'm watching the movie and I realized, like, this is ingenious. One of the cheapest special effects in the world is to be like, he's not there.
You're actually
like shooting less. It costs less money and stuff. It was really ingenious. I watched that. What did I watch? I watched The Hunt now that I've been home.
What'd you think?
You know, they start streaming that. I thought it was fun. It's not the movie that everyone said it was, you know, like this polemic that it is. It's tongue-in-cheek and stuff. Okay. And they kind of go after both sides. So I enjoyed it. But you know what I watched yesterday morning? Got up, blazed, waist-baked, and watched Onward. What a mistake that was. emotional. Absolute emotional mess at the end. Man, I was bawling. Just bawling, man. If you have a brother... Or if you've ever had a father, oh, this movie will destroy you. I called up my brother, and I was like, I love you so much.
I watched that movie, and at the end, I was like, this is so sad. Like, why is this kid's movie this sad?
Oh, it was incredibly done. Like, incredibly well done. I'll work my whole life, and we'll make something as beautiful as the last 20 minutes of that movie. Oh,
you know what?
Absolutely. Wonder.
I did get to see, you know, obviously last time we had you on and had you in the studio, the tour was on, the Jane Silent Bob reboot tour was on. Finally got to see it and loved it. And it was, there were moments.
That's right. I got a movie too. I forgot.
You do. Yes, you do. And I have to tell you, you know, after spending pop culture years with you and having you fuel a lot of the stuff that I love in a pop culture sense, that to me was a love letter to so many moments and to see so many friends pop up and so many friends with their tongues planted firmly in their cheeks, having a ball. And it was what I wanted it to be. And so kudos to you on that. It was really a solid, an emotional love letter, I thought.
It really, I appreciate that. It's a fun little watch if you'd like any of those movies that I did when I was a kid, man. And it is like, you know, you go in going, well, it better be funny. And then what we give you is, I think it's funny, but then we give you the feels as well. And that's kind of like what you don't expect going in. And that's what you walk out with. It's really nice. It's on Amazon Prime right now. I can watch it free because you got Amazon Prime.
On Amazon Prime. Well, the whole Affleck, the Ben Affleck sequence that we had heard about was wonderful. And Chris Hemsworth, as a holographic representation of himself, delivers some of the biggest laughs.
It was wonderful. It was, you know, it's wild too. It's like, you know, I missed the tour, and I'll miss the tour every day of my life. It was like the most fun I ever had in my entire career. Every night, I went out to a screening where it was like going to a church where I was both the priest and Jesus. And stuff. So it was just wonderful. But you know, every night when they saw somebody they recognized, the audience like broke into applause. It were like party screenings and stuff. But the one that was always like fun for me to watch because the audience has this very confused reaction is Chris Jericho is in the movie.
Yes.
And Chris Jericho plays, you know, spoilers, a Klan leader at a Klan rally that the boys have to the girls that are traveling with the boys. The movie's about Jay finds out he has a long lost daughter. The daughter and friends wind up in the hands of the Klan and stuff. So, you know, every time somebody walks into the movie that people recognize, everybody applauds. Chris Jericho comes in as a Klansman. He lifts his hood and he goes, peekaboo. And the audience applauds because, like, it's Chris Jericho. And then suddenly they realize they're applauding a Klan leader. They stop applauding, like, oh, I, well, you know, under only under circumstances. It was a very funny to watch their, how do I react to this kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so with that, and I want to go back to also your recommendations for, obviously, our quarantine and other movies you would recommend.
Let me give you another one, man. A fascinating watch. I watched it pre-quarantine, but like a couple weeks ago. A movie called Swallow. Have you heard about this?
I have, but I have not seen it.
Oh, so worth watching. Such a classy movie. Art film. It was like directed within an inch of its life. Beautiful to look at. Composition fantastic. Performances haunting. Subject matter is about, it's called Pika. Pika. Have you ever heard
of
this?
Yes, yeah.
Sure.
Where like, you know, like dogs eat, will eat dirt and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. You eat things that are not edible. They're not sustainable. You're not supposed to eat them. Yeah.
Human being, not nutritional at all. Yeah. Like sometimes people eat paper. Some people eat dirt. Some people eat metal objects. So she lives in this very sterilized world with a kind of be perfect sort of husband or whatnot. So to take some peace for herself or whatnot, she starts swallowing things. So she starts with like a marble, and then like later on, she fishes it out the toilet, cleans it off, puts it on this tray, like, you know, like it's an accomplishment. Like I swallowed this and it came out. But then the tray starts filling up with crazy stuff, like a thumbtack. Safety pin. At one point, she swallows a battery, and she winds up being pregnant, and they go do a sonogram, but they're like, what's this? And they open her up, and she's got all this metal in her stomach.
Oh,
it was a haunting, haunting motion picture, bro.
Oh, like, that is wild. Okay, so
tough to watch. I'm not saying, like, get the popcorn, you'll have a good time. It's definitely, you got to be in the mood to watch a movie like this, but man, it stuck with me like crazy.
Well, here's just the other day, I was reading an article, I was telling these guys about it, I think it was on BuzzFeed, and it was movies that are difficult to sit through, not because they're essentially bad movies, but the subject matter, like you said, can kind of
F you up,
get inside of you. One of your movies was on that list. Which one do you think it is?
Got to be Jersey Girl. Be.
I'm guessing Tusk.
No, there was Tusk.
I knew it.
Yeah,
Tusk is a great movie.
So
yeah.
When the guy who made Tusk is telling you that Swallow, you know, is an unnerving watch.
All right.
You know, it's a good one, too. Kevin, I don't know if you saw Come to Daddy with Elijah Wood.
Ooh. I've seen the poster a few times as I've been clicking through, and I haven't watched it. Is it good?
Yeah, so I describe it as like M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit with a little bit of Pulp Fiction. And it's
I'm in.
Yeah, I love, like you talked about Lee Whannell and with The Invisible Man, when they try something different, when they take it at a different angle, and that's what that was like. I'll also have another recommendation for you quickly for Netflix. Did you see David Lynch's short film, What Did Jack Do?
No, how is it?
So it's a noir film where David Lynch is sitting there and he's cross-examining or he's interrogating a monkey that supposedly committed a murder. And in cheap sort of retro fashion, they have a human mouth put on the monkey's mouth.
Yeah.
And
they're kind of like Clutch Cargo stuff?
Exactly. It is riveting and hilarious and classically David Lynch bizarre. You've got to see it.
Oh, man, I love that he's like, I think David's got to be in his 70s now, and he's still as weird as ever. That dude has remained so true to brand. Like, the same guy that made Eraserhead is the same guy that made that short, apparently, the way you described it.
Yeah.
You know what else I saw on Netflix, which is, I just watched yesterday. It's fascinating. The Platform. Have you watched this yet?
No.
It's a great movie. It's like a quasi sci-fi movie. Guy wakes up and he's inside this prison. And the prison is like, he's got a cell. He shares one other person. It's all kind of cement. And there's a big giant square hole in the floor. If you look over it, you can see down. It just looks like it goes straight down forever, repeated cells. And the idea is a table comes through once a day from one of the floors above. There's like hundreds of floors. And so as the table comes down, people eat off it at each cell level. And they only have a few minutes to gorge, and then it goes down. And the idea is if everyone only took what they needed, the table would make it all the way down to the lower levels, and everyone would have sustenance. But since human beings are human beings, everyone takes too much, and then the people down below don't get anything, so they resort to cannibalism. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. Well, that's actually a good...
It's definitely worth watching. It's a reader movie, though.
Yeah.
It was from another country, but, man, it was captured my imagination, one of the most original things I've seen in a long time. And it's watch it with some, if you're stuck in, you know, quarantine, you watch it with somebody because it's one of those, what would you do? You know,
right.
As you sit there and discuss afterwards. It was pretty wonderful.
I love that. Pretty wild. Hey, have you seen Uncut Gems yet?
Yes, this is how I win. Yeah, I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah, so that was another one that I had, I watched the whole thing. My wife wanted to turn it off about an hour in, and I understood where she was coming from, but two things were, going against her. One, we were already an hour invested into it, and two, I paid for it. So, so I'm like, we're going to see this all the way to the end. Has there ever been a movie that you had you just turned off?
I'm not turned off, but when I was a kid, I walked out of the Flintstones movie. I was in a theater, I was by myself, and I was really looking forward to it. I wasn't a big Flintstones fan, but I was so like, I can't believe we live in a world where they're actually doing a live action Flintstones. And I love John Goodman from Roseanne and stuff.
Right.
And about halfway through that movie, I was like, life's too short. And I just didn't
think it. Even as a kid, you know, well, what was we talked about? For example, I've seen Eraserhead and I saw it once and that was enough. I really appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate what he was attempting to do, but I don't need to go there again. What movie would be like that for you, where you just, okay, one and done. I appreciate it, but I can't go back there.
You're absolutely right to pull a razor, and it's so weird. I just watched this documentary. It's not out yet, but it's on cult films.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. It was like 3 2-hour documentaries, each one 2 hours. And one of them was like midnight movies, and they showed Eraserhead. So they did a big, like, 10-minute dive on Eraserhead. And as I watched all the clips, I was like, oh, my God, I remember that. Like, I remembered watching it years ago in the late 80s, early 90s, how it fired up my creative DNA, right. How it made me think things were possible, and like, you could do things like this. And I've yet never seen it again since then. It's not a movie that you're like, I got to revisit it now, because I probably won't see the same magic I did when I was a kid. But when I watched their look back, I was like, man, that movie, I remember that. But I'm with you. It's probably one I'll never watch again. Look, I loved Parasite. But, yeah. You know, once you've seen it, you've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying it ain't good enough for many watches. I'm sure many people can deep dive on it and find more and more. But, like, kind of like The Arrival. I love The Arrival. Such a brilliant movie. But once you've seen it, you've seen it. It's tough to, like, if you watch it again, then you know you're seeing it through the prism of, oh, I know the twist. I know what's going to happen. Right. So all of this makes sense. And you can definitely appreciate, like, how you can go back and reverse engineer in a second viewing. Like, look how they did that. That makes sense. But there are definitely some movies that, not because I don't like them, but just because you're like, I got it, I'm good.
There's some of the disturbing. The director who did Ex Machina and Annihilation.
I love Ex Machina.
It really, like, Annihilation is one of those disturbing, again, where you walk out and you're like, how am I supposed to feel? Because it F's you up.
What was the ending? You'll feel that, honestly, you'll feel that way about The Platform as well.
So how did you happen upon The Platform? Did somebody recommend that to you, or you were like, okay, this is
I was about 3 weeks ago, I saw a mini trailer for it on, I was in my timeline on Twitter, and I was like, the art direction, I'm not like name checking or trying to brag, but as the guy that made Clerks, whenever I see a movie that looks inexpensive, like, but it doesn't feel cheap, but like, oh, like, you know, when I watched Invisible Man, whole time we were watching the movie, I'm sitting next to my wife and I'm like, can you believe it? It's ingenious what they're doing, because I was so taken by the idea of they found a way to make a low budget movie. The Platform to me looked like a low budget movie, and I'm sure they spent some money on it and stuff. But at the end of the day, you literally could have done it as a play as well. Like, it's one room essentially. So movies like that always draw my attention. This is like, you know, Monsters, as we were talking about before, because it's an ingenious use of limited means. Like, and that appeals to my creative DNA.
I agree.
Well, and you're the poster boy for making ends meet for very little and unintentionally making Clerks even more fascinating and have it being in black and white just because it was cheaper to do it that way, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So when I see stuff like that where I'm like, look at that, man, that's clever. Like, yeah. If you didn't have a bunch of money, you could tell that story. That still captures my imagination to this day. So that's what drew me to that. And then, like, I was waiting for it to drop, and finally they dropped it, and I was hyping my wife for it because I'm like, they got cannibalism in it and stuff. So it's far deeper than, and it's brilliant, but it's far deeper than the trailer I watched, than the way I sold it to my wife, even the way I'm selling it here. Like, it sounds on the surface very cool, but it, you know, there's deep messages to that movie.
Did you ever see the movie Eli Roth's Green Inferno?
Yeah, where they, at one point there's the scene where they stuff their friends with weed and then they burn them and
yeah, I mean it's so off the charts.
Yeah,
I mean, and then there are some times when you have where the audience gets it or you get it and you're enjoying the excess. Or I know it just shuts a lot of people down, but those are those little gems that sort of, you know, pop up sporadically. And again, talking about Preston's perception of Clerks and everything, sometimes, I mean, I think it is the case, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, great big budgets are great, but the sort of creativity that comes out of, all right, how are we going to do this with this, just breeds some really, really wild stuff.
What do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
You know, and that's what happened. Most people on low budget films are constantly in need. You know, when you're on a big budget film, there's no need because there's money to solve all your problems and heal all wounds. But on a low budget movie, you don't have anything. You're always in a state of needing something more. Oh, we need more money. We need a camera. We need this. So necessity is abundant on a movie set. And so that's why, you know, low budget movies, you do find inventive things because necessity is the mother of invention. What you lack in be able to whiz bang, you know, some visuals,
sure,
you can make up for with, like, oh, wait, like, you know, it's something dopey in Clerks that people always liked when they found out afterwards was, like, in the movie, the steel shutters are closed, you know, and Dante's like, there's gum in the lock, so we can't open the steel shutters. But then people figured out, and they would be so proud of themselves coming up to me going, like, you have the steel shutters closed because you were shooting the movie at night. So you wrote that into the movie that the steel shutters were closed because people stuffed gum in the locks. But really, it was a practical reason. I'm like, exactly, exactly. Wow. And that captures people's imagination where they figured out, like, mm-hmm. Hey, that's like the same way I was talking about the Invisible Man going, hey, man, without having another guy in the scene, that's the cheapest special effect in the world. That's how people approach that moment, where they're like, oh, I get it. And for that one brief moment, when people piece that together, that's the same moment when they realize they could also be a filmmaker. And so some people keep moving forward with that and go, oh, I can do that. And some people just go like, oh, that could never happen to me. But I promise you, if everyone took it the next step further to do the actual thing, they too would find their little ingenious necessity being the mother of invention creative moment that they could totally build on. I'm not saying they're silly for not doing it. Some people just don't have that inclination. But, like, that's what happened to me. I watched Robert Townsend made a movie called Hollywood Shuffle many years ago. Very funny movie. And he did an interview with Stern years ago. This was 30 years ago. And so at one point he's talking about how he financed that movie using credit cards. This was years before I made Clerks. But I remember listening to that interview and being like, what? Like, that's possible? Huh. I didn't know that. And it just sat in the back of my head. Years later, when I made Clerks, I was like, Robert Townsend said that he could charge some of the renting of the camera and the film stock on a credit card. Like, all I need to do is get a credit card and maybe I can make a movie. It's weird how you accrue little pieces of information. And for some people, it's just trivia. And for some people, it's the secret map. It's like it's the finding, like, the riddle that leads to the Sphinx. So
I agree. Those little tidbits of information that make it so much more exciting. I remember then. I don't know if this is an apocryphal story or if it's accurate. Knowing the subject matter, I might think it's accurate that Roger Corman, when he did the original Little Shop of Horrors, had, like, specifically the sets would only extend to where the camera would see there was no, everything was so, like so cut down to bare bones minimum that it was virtually like a one shot, you know, one take, move on. Like, they kept it. It was the leanest and meanest approach to filmmaking. And that in of itself is a genius thing to be able to do, to be that efficient, because you have to be that efficient.
You're working with the means you got, man. Yeah. Like, you know, everybody can do that, and it results differently in everybody's hands. Some people will always be like, no, I can't tell this story unless I have more.
Right.
And I'm not taking anything away from those people. Like, the way I hear it, like, Inarritu, the guy who did, you know, Revenant and stuff like that, and what was it, Birdman?
Yeah.
From what I understand, like, when they're making The Revenant, everyone was out in the cold, and it was miserable, and it wasn't like, you know, hey, jump out of the cold, you can jump into this trailer. Like, everyone was in equally crappy condition. and the director wanted that because that's the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's how they would have been. And you know, I respect, and that dude won an Oscar, so you can't argue with that.
You can tell, too.
I'm the other guy who's like, just pretend like you're cold, and then we'll go inside.
I can't say I wouldn't like your style if I was an actor, yeah.
Kevin,
but that's why that dude wins awards, you know what I'm saying?
I want to bring things kind of back to our current scenario with everybody in this quarantine thing. I'm believing, number one, I think it's going to last a little bit longer than people are anticipating right now. But I think that may be a good thing in some regards. I think we're going to see a creative boom out of this. I think that people are going to be at home, and they're going to go, I've had this time, you know, maybe I should try writing something. I've never done that before. I've always had a slight interest in that. Or maybe they're going to mess around with the camera function on their phone, or the fact that they might have iMovie or something like that. And I got to believe in now what we'll see of that, what the fruits will be, I'm not sure. But I have a feeling that people are really going to stretch their creative muscles a little bit in this time.
I absolutely agree. Me notwithstanding, because as previously mentioned, I'm writing Clerks 3 and Mallrats, so I'm not that creative. However, most of the world, we're starting to see it in little pockets. Like, you know, we live in a TikTok universe now. Look how clever people are, man. Like, I watched a video of, like, a guy and his girlfriend, and they, like, stood back to back, and she put her head down.
The horse.
Long hair, and suddenly, the horse.
Yeah, suddenly, it was great.
That was one of the most entertaining things I've seen since Swallow. You know what I'm saying? It took me 30 seconds to watch. So, you know, I'm a guy who started his whole career came from people going, oh, I saw that crappy low-budget movie you made. It was fun. The modern-day version of that is like, oh, man, that TikTok was brilliant. You know, and somebody gets a bunch of hits on it, and then they're like, oh, I'm good at this. And they keep doing it and build a career off of that sort of thing. So even on the mild level, you're starting to see more creativity. But I would also point out, as you said, a lot of people are home and they're like, well, I got time to write. A lot of people are also losing their jobs.
Yes.
As they're home. So that is also a great motivator where you're like, well, look, I don't have that to worry about anymore. I can't go find a new job at the moment. I'm just stuck in quarantine. Best way to make use of my time is write. You know, I've always wanted to write. I've always, and look, you know, I'm not talking about getting on the internet and writing about how bad this all is or like what you're missing or some fish concert. Yeah, I'm talking to you guys. but I'm talking about real writing. I'm talking about sharing something of yourself or creating a world that didn't exist before, like George Lucas did and stuff like that. Like, we're all stuck inside, you know, and on one level, of course, through the prism of like, well, I have stuff to do. This seems like an irritant, but I think some time from now, we'll be able to look back and be like, oh, we got a nice little reset. We got a nice little moment where there's no competition. You don't have to worry that if you're checking out to follow your dream that the world's going to move ahead without you or somebody's going to jump ahead. Like, nobody's going anywhere for the next few months.
Kevin,
so now would be the time to lean into that creativity.
Yeah, you're right. And in that, and we will, obviously, there's not an expert, you know, in the world who's saying that this will not pass. It's just how we go about it and how efficiently we make sure that we can follow what we're being asked to do. And then that will reflect in it. But ultimately, I think you're right. In a way, you know, there's the doctor for the show had paraphrased Apollo 13. You know, this will be our finest moment, and it could be if we turn ourselves over and get involved with endeavors, as you're saying, see what you're capable of, use the time to at least indulge things that you want to do. You're not going anywhere. You might as well give it a shot.
Yep.
You know what I've seen? It was really beautiful. Like here, they're really starting to lock down. Like yesterday, they just issued a new order where they're like, hey, we're going to start closing like state parks and stuff like that. For a while, they were letting people, since everything else was closed, they're like, well, you can go hiking and whatnot. But now they're even tamping that down. What I see, though, like when I look outside or if I've driven someplace, is families walking.
Yeah. Yes.
Like in groups. Like, and I haven't seen that. Like, I haven't seen that since Halloween in the 90s.
You're right. Jackie.
Like, it just blew my mind. And it wasn't just, oh, there's that one family out. There's just a bunch. And they're all distanced from, you know, other families, but they're little clusters. These are all people that are in quarantine together anyway. But like, you never see that. This is a world where, like, you drop kids off at a place, and then you go to a place, and then, you know, family is a different look than it was than from the world when I grew up, in terms of, you know, you sat down, ate dinner together and stuff like that.
Right.
Now it seems like there's this weird return to that. It was adorable to see these families, like, just walking together, like, all right, kids, put on your clothes. And you know it comes from a bunch of parents being like, if I have to spend one more minute in the house with these little animals, I'm going to go nuts. But like, there's something warm and wonderful about it. Something, yeah. This is a bad thing. I ain't trying to paint it as it's not a bad thing. And like this, you know, it's terrible that it's happening. And we'll, you know, you just got to batten down the hatches and get through it, wash your hands, stuff like that.
Yeah, you're not ignoring the seriousness of it, but if we don't take a moment to acknowledge the beauty that comes out of negative things, then we're not paying attention.
There's always a silver lining. Mm-hmm.
There is.
You know, seeing families walking together, that's a silver lining. Particularly, like, who knows what the future looks like? At least we got families walking around right now. Yeah. So I'm
Nope, we lost
that
for a second.
That got grim right at the end there. Boy,
it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, so nobody's really pushing any projects right now. Everything is on hold. We're really thrilled that you wanted to come on and chat, because we wanted to reach out to some people and just talk. It's what, you know, it's what we do for a living, and whether they're selling a product or not, or, you know, we still want to talk and see what's up in everybody's lives. If you've got any friends that any Hollywood friends that want to chat, we'd love to talk. So, you know, if you think
I'll ask around, but I bet you, like, a lot of those cats are like, I don't have to be myself for a living for a while.
It may be.
I'm the other guy. I'm like, that's all I do. So
yeah, you're good at it. Yeah.
I'm happy to jump on the phone.
Knowing that we might take a hit in quality, we'll certainly talk to whoever's available. But we appreciate you making the time.
Yeah,
for
thanks
it.
For the suggestions, the stuff to watch. That's cool. And you know, we'll take your suggestions and go check them out.
And we may be checking with you a little bit later on to see if you have any more suggestions over the, you know.
Yeah, depending on how long this drags out.
By then, I will be able to say, like, hey, guys, I went to every site on the internet.
I finished the internet.
I love it. All right, Kev.
Later today, folks, in I think about an hour or something like that, my Hollywood Babylon podcast drops. Podcast.com.
Awesome.
Right. Thanks, kids.
Anytime. Thank you, sir. Kevin Smith, guys. Gotta love that guy. Yeah. Gotta love him. All right, so I know Nick had a question, Nick, but we had to wrap it up there. Sorry, dude.
No, that's cool. I wanted to ask him because he was on The Simpsons last night, and I wanted to hear about that. But maybe we'll chat about that next time we have him.
Yeah, we'll see if we can. I wasn't sure if Kevin was going to be able to hear Nick, and Nick was eating potato chips, and I had to turn him down.
He's been on a potato chip binge this morning.
It's weird. This headphone unit that he's wearing, every now and then you'll just hear this noise, and I'm like, well, I'm going to turn that down.
Well, this is part of the process of figuring out what we can and can't do.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why Nick is at a remote location. He's at his house. We're, you know, should it be that we need to split up and do our shows in separate places, we will we'll have the ability to do it on a turnkey operation. Kathy's going to be at her home tomorrow, and Nick will be straight. Marissa's at home. We need to get a broadcast set up for Marissa, too.
Yes.
I think we need something.
Because failure's not an option. Exactly. We continue to do the show regardless.
Yep.
All right. We need to do this.
Oh, wait. No. I moved it. It didn't sound
We're not doing that.
Do you want to do it?
No, it's okay. We'll come back and do the Daily Rush matchup. That's what I was going to do, but we will return with that. So stay close. We'll be back in just a moment.
Feeling deprived of a basketball bracket? Running out of shows to binge on? Well, 93.3 WMMR and the Preston and Steve Show can fix that. It's Daily Rush, Madness. Go to PrestonandSteve.com and start binging. 64 episodes will contend for your votes to determine the winner. Daily Rush Madness from the station that's been providing Philadelphia questionable content since day one. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
If you're just jumping in, Nick McWayne at his home with a broadcast unit set up. We're trying some stuff out to see if we will need to be in separate locations if things progress a little bit further. Kathy's going to be at home tomorrow. We'll try it that way. And so far, Nick's sounds really good. So.
It's really pretty manageable, you know, and we'll see how it progresses.
Did you finish all of your potato chips, Nick?
Yes, I have moved on to crunchier things like pretzels, and later in the morning I'm going to have some pudding, and then for Kathy, a banana.
A banana.
Do you know, if there's anything to take away, if you're looking for any positive thing, Kathy, at least you're not in proximity to Nick when he eats.
Right?
And I mean, you got to see a door closes and a window opens. Preston, about the thing about getting out and exercising, a lot of people say, just walk and walk and walk. I was out yesterday and I was curling squirrels. And,
oh, wow.
And you can use them as dumbbells
sure.
when you're out there, you know, and obviously the heftier ones for more weight, but they're out there, know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't have to have a lot of weight, Steve, if you're doing a lot of reps.
Just
like
form.
That.
Yeah. Form. Now, mind you, the squirrels will be they'll be freaking out a little bit, but once they become calm, it's easier.
Yep.
Trust me.
There's all creative ways that you can make things work in this interesting time. All right, let's do this.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, two more matchups to highlight before the day is up. This matchup, it's our ninth one so far, is in the Hey Bitches region of the brackets. And the two videos go... No, wait, that was the last one. This is in the Shart section, sorry.
Always the strong competitors.
Yes, so the two videos are a number three seed, Preston's Aha Moment, versus number 14 seed, Gene Simmons Chicken. Oh, interesting. Wow. I would have put Gene Simmons a little higher, but you know what? This is where they ended up. Let's play my Aha Moment. This is the first video matchup here.
It has helped him mitigate his anger.
You have to kind of have a bit of an aha moment. And now, it may happen in anger management.
Do you have to see them in concert, or you just see one of the...
Not the 80s band Aha.
Oh.
I think it is.
I'm going to kill you!
It's got to be...
Take on me.
Wouldn't that calm me down?
That would calm
me
down.
Take me... It's a pleasant song.
Everyone sings along.
Yeah.
I'll be...
That might actually piss me off. Oh, my God. We do such stupid stuff.
I'm wondering how many of these moments are better forgotten. And here we are stirring it up again.
All right. And that goes up against Gene Simmons Chicken. Here's the clip. 13,000 chickens that need to find a place to go. Maybe Gene could step in and do a benefit. Absolutely. He loves chickens.
Thank you for attending tonight. There's a very special chicken I want to bring up on stage.
Though it may be hard to believe.
I love you, my little feathered friend. Look at this. He eats falafels right out of my mouth. And whereas his beak is pointy, he makes sure to do it delicately as to not puncture my lips.
Did you give him a little kiss at the end there?
Yep. You're such a good little chicken.
Oh, my God. All right. You can go to PrestonandSteve.com, and you can not only vote, but you can watch the videos. We prefer that you watch them, just to remind you. And you can vote. Voting is up for 24 hours, so you can do it at any time, not just when we mention these on the air. So Preston's Aha Moment versus Gene Simmons Chicken. We'll find out tomorrow who wins.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. I got stories, y'all. We're going to start. Well, you know what? So yesterday I did an entire toilet paper Bizarre File, and it was the first Bizarre File. I mean, on Friday I did that. It was the first Bizarre File. Today is the second Bizarre File. I'm doing an all toilet paper.
Oh,
version.
My God. No. Well, let's face it. Toilet paper's all the rage these days.
Yes, it is. Police in North Carolina intercepted a truck filled with nearly 18,000 pounds of commercial toilet paper on Wednesday as retailers are battling a global shortage. The Guilford County Sheriff's Office said that they discovered the stolen goods after realizing that the 53-foot 18-wheeled truck had been reported stolen. The truck was being used to transport the large supply of commercial toilet paper to a warehouse facility near Whitsett, North Carolina. Photos provided by the Sheriff's Department show dozens of boxes filled with thousands of stolen rolls. And police said the investigation is ongoing. No arrests have been made at this time. The shipment was actually lawful, but the trailer itself had been reported stolen. The driver is suspected of stealing the truck, but they aren't releasing his name because the issue of toilet paper is, quote, fairly sensitive right now.
Sure.
And by the way, there's a shortage because everybody keeps buying too much of it.
You That's don't why. Have to worry.
Exactly.
Wait, do you know what I found is sold out everywhere I go? Tampons.
Oh, really?
And I tried to order them online. They'll come in May.
Okay. All right. That's the panic buying. So it's in case we can't, you know, go out, we need all of this stuff.
If we all en masse just take what you need for on a weekly or a couple week basis, you'll be fine.
A Florida man was arrested and charged with felony theft after he allegedly was caught using a garbage can to steal 66 rolls of toilet paper out of the Marriott Hotel. Angel Esteban Hernandezito was arrested in the early morning hours of Thursday after police responded to a security guard named Yamil. His call was complaining that a man was stealing toilet paper from the hotel at 1:30 a.m.
Hey, where are you going with that TP?
The guard said that he was on regular patrols and he noticed suspicious activity. He saw Angel pushing a trash can towards his Honda. The arresting officer wrote in the affidavit that Angel opened the rear of the van and took a trash bag from the trash can and put it in his van.
We got a TP situation on the perimeter.
Yamil found it suspicious as to why he put a trash bag in his van and peeked through the window. He noticed the bag was full of unused toilet paper that belonged to the hotel.
What's in that trash bag, son?
Hernandezito was able to execute his alleged toilet paper heist because he worked for a cleaning company that services the hotel.
Oh, so. It's just heroin. So. Heroin.
I go about it.
All right, okay, go be on your way. I was worried it was toilet paper.
All right, here's a positive toilet paper story. This is it.
We can grow from this.
Not this type of toilet right. paper is a spin on us. Customers cheered at a Walmart in Missouri after a woman gave birth to a baby girl in the store's toilet paper aisle.
Hey.
Yay.
Great.
Jessica Hinkle, manager of the store, said the woman told employees Wednesday that her water broke. Hinkle held up a sheet for privacy while a labor nurse who happened to be in the store and firefighters helped the woman deliver her baby in just 45 minutes.
This is our little girl, Two-Ply.
Customers encouraged the woman throughout the birth and cheered as she and the baby were taken away in an ambulance. Hinkle said that she contacted the woman Thursday and both mom and baby are doing well. The woman's name wasn't released. But Hinkle said, I'm not the best with blood, so that was my job, holding the sheet and the crowd control, making sure that nobody invaded the privacy of that poor lady.
So when they say facial quality toilet paper, obviously, we're led to believe it's soft enough for your face, right? So therefore it's soft enough for your butt, right?
Absolutely.
But it would be okay if it said perfect for your ass. Right?
Yes, it would. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, we let's be adults about this. You have to do that little bait and switch, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. It probably feels soft on your face. Yeah. Wink, wink.
Where else?
Yeah. What about my bunghole?
Yeah. A thief in Oregon smashed in the rear window of an SUV to steal 30 roll cases of toilet paper. Two of them, by the way. The Eugene Police Department alerted the community about the incident in a post of the the department's Facebook page. They reported that the crime took place early Sunday morning when the bandit allegedly shattered the entire rear window and took all valuables, including two cases of 30-roll toilet paper and some valuable business and personal items. There was a day when just the valuable business and personal items
sure,
would have been taken.
That was enough, but yeah.
All right, and you know what? I have more, but we need to wrap it up there. So that is all that I have in the bizarre file for now, my friends. Let us take a break, and we have one more Daily Rush matchup that we'll highlight. I'll remind you, we have a new Word of the Week prize this week. 4-pack of tickets to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue. Citizens Bank Park with special guests Poison and Joan Jett, Saturday, August 15th. Some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com, so that's your Word of the Week prize. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick is broadcasting from his home this morning. By the way, Nick, what are you in your like spare room? Did you end up going into Ben's bedroom? Where are you broadcasting from?
I stayed in the spare room the whole time because it's removed sort of from the rest of the house. So hopefully it's not bothering my girlfriend who is also working from home. So, but we'll see what. Yeah. No different than work, really.
But Nick is on location. We're checking out equipment to make sure it works. Kathy's going to be at her house tomorrow just to, if we need to, you know, make our lessen our numbers a little bit just to stay within the guidelines. And Marissa is working from home, but she's up. She's doing work. She's in touch with us constantly. And obviously, we were having some streaming issues. She got that worked out. So.
She's handling everything.
Yeah, we're making this work. And our buddy Connor is doing all the hands-on stuff in the producers area, so we're making it work, and you never know, this may come a point where all of us except for maybe one person is here running the board and the rest of us are at our homes, and you know, we're finding it's possible to do that, you know, with the equipment. So
but for right now, we decided, okay, we're gonna do our show as is, but who do we want out of the studio the most, and we do straws, and there we go.
And what we didn't realize is we are hearing Nick eat even more. That's the main reason we wanted
thought,
him out of
here. We thought less.
But he's got a headphone mic, which you can't move your mouth away from.
Well, there's that. So we got Nick out because of the munching. Marissa, she actually has contained to so much more now because of her technological capabilities. She's running city efforts as well as just our show.
City efforts.
Yeah, she's doing that's what a multitasker. She's handling everything building ventilators at home and all that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Kathy's habit around the station, and we don't say it on the air a lot, but she just loves to kiss everybody. Yeah. So
we figured
that's an issue.
It shows that it's dangerous.
It's dangerous to do that. So.
Yeah.
And by the way, we still haven't heard from Gary Lauer. Remember on Friday,
yes.
We put he doesn't have a phone. So we just have
he's in
to
my basement, Preston.
He's in your basement.
Yeah.
We just have to say on the radio, is Gary Lauer okay? Can you please check in? And then we wait to see if he calls in. And so.
Well, remember last time it took a while, but he called in.
Yep.
He is, I say he is, and I mean this as a compliment, he is a cockroach-like survivor.
Yep.
I mean that as love. The same thing you try to crush in your kitchen, that's Gary.
We'll see if he ends up checking in at some point. Hey, I do want to mention this, that our company, Beasley Media, has come up with to help the community and local businesses in that if you're struggling, we have your opportunity to attend a free 30-minute webinar. It's called Crisis Management for Local Businesses. And it's on WMMR.com, and it's got actionable insights, timely advice, relevant data to maybe help you out during the issues that everybody's having right now. And maybe you'll come out stronger on the other side as well. To register, just go to WMMR.com and then search for the Crisis Management for Local Businesses and sign up. There might be a bit of maybe something you hadn't considered that might be in that webinar.
I think it's a great idea, no matter what your business is. And also, Preston, we have on our website that thing encouraging you, the page for businesses that are providing, say, food takeout and other things that are still okay with the shutdown. And I'm going to prize myself some takeout later on and buy a couple of days worth and take care of it that way. So please, as you said, Preston, come out on the other side as strong as we can.
Exactly.
And that's the goal.
Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt. We have an urgent phone call.
We do?
Yes. Who's on the line this morning?
It's the mayor.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God. The mayor, Kenny. How are you, sir?
How's my family?
That's not Gary.
This isn't Gary.
It is me.
No, it is not.
It's Gary Lauer, the mayor of Juniata Park, the fan bastard of 93.3 WMMR.
It is.
I'm sick as a dog, guys.
Oh, that is you. Because, Gary, you're normally, your pitch is a lot higher, and you're sick. How you, what are your symptoms?
I heard you guys Friday. I would have called Friday. Look, I'm having a hard time breathing. My chest hurts.
Really?
This is for real, kids. For, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody's out there listening, please adhere to these national government rules and city rules.
This is
for real, man.
Gary, have you...
I'm setting up appointments today.
Okay, yeah.
Man, this is for real, man. I'm having a hard time breathing, swallowing, eating.
Okay.
This is not a good thing, kids.
No. Okay.
I wouldn't recommend this on anybody, buddy.
Well, listen, I'm glad we did a wellness check so that we know that at least and we can follow up with you. But as long as you're taking the steps to number one, get a test, and number two... make sure that you keep your contact to an absolute minimum. You know, fortunately, I think, Gary, you're age-wise, you're not in the danger zone. Hopefully, you're, you know, in decent health outside of that.
Listen, man, I tell you what, kids, this is nothing to mess around
sure.
about, man. This is people who are not taking this seriously, man. You need to stay the F home, man. Stay away from people, places, and you need to just stay away.
Okay. Well, that's sage advice, Gary.
Do you have a doctor?
I set up an appointment. I'm just waiting for them clowns to call me back, man. And I just can't go to a hospital because they'll send you away, you know?
No, you don't do that.
You don't do that. You want to touch base on the phone, and then they'll tell you what to do. Now,
this is for real.
No, we know that, Gary. We've been talking about that all this week and last week.
I've been missing you, Cats, all week, and I'm so glad for you guys educating everybody, man.
Well, here's the deal, Gary. What are your symptoms right now?
I haven't been able to go to the bathroom. I can't swallow. I can't eat. My chest is in my I'm having tightness in my chest. I can't swallow water. I can't swallow food. It's for real, man. It's for real, buddy. It's for real, man. I'm all by myself. I don't know what to do. It's just terrible, bud. I got nobody, man.
All right, Gary. Well, here's the deal.
Please
stay in contact with us because we're serious. You know we have fun with you, but we definitely care about you.
I love you guys. My death, and you are my family. I mean, it's all shtick and everything, but this is for real, guys. This is for real. We're talking about life and death here.
Gary, when did you start feeling bad?
The day after St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, so that's been a little while now.
Yeah. Almost a week.
I guess I was in they called it an inebriated. I was inebriated. I guess I was like, it was in my system, and it's just like it was boiling, waiting.
Incubating?
That's the word. Thank you, man. Look, I'm not myself. I'm very weak. I'm very weak, man.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You know, some of the symptoms that you're mentioning are not what we're hearing, but there's obviously every reason to get what you have looked at. And if the doctors can set everything up for you, but I want you, because you have our information, stay in touch with us so we can make sure you're okay, all right?
Listen, Steve, check on Steve Morrison. I think the world of you guys and Presbo, man, you're the great. You're very dear to my heart. And Sweet Tea, Captain Mono, you're a doll, baby. I'm looking forward to having you at home, honey, tomorrow.
Okay.
Stay at home,
so, Kathy, you going over there tomorrow?
I got confused. I know what you're saying, Gary. I got you.
Stay at home with your family and stay apart, sweetheart.
All right, but hey, Gary, you got everything you need right now? You got, you know.
I'm taking 800 milligram Motrins. I'm trying to drink fluid with a straw. I'm drinking tea with
Motrin, is that ibuprofen?
Yeah, you're supposed to stay away from
don't
that.
Don't take that, Gary.
Oh, I did not know that, kids.
Yeah, don't take that. You're not supposed to.
Why?
I don't know, but you're not supposed to.
They say that it can actually work to your detriment if you're taking ibuprofen, there's something about it that allows the, if you do have corona, we're not sure you do have that,
no,
Gary.
No, but it's a precaution.
As a precaution,
you should have it. And you should take Tylenol instead. You should take acetaminophen.
I've never in my lifetime felt like this before in my life, and I had the flu and I had this and that. Never felt like this in my life.
You sound, I would say also it would help you. I know you're panicked, but just relax a little bit if you can, because your energy level seems good. And I want you to just know that, again, you have our contact information. You have things in motion. You obviously have to be seen by a doctor or at least follow the doctor's advice. Lay off the ibuprofen until you get definitive information back from then. But by all means, we need you to stay in touch with us, okay?
Yeah. You know what I was going to ask? they're doing this thing down at the ballpark, but it's from 2 to 6, and I'm at that age where I'm eligible to be there. But what am I going to do, hop on 2 soul trains, and here I am, standing in line? Wouldn't I be better if I just got in a car and got down there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I am so screwed, man.
No, no.
Well, I think you need to go down there, though. I think you need to go have the test taken.
Yeah, if I
get on the subway train, wouldn't I be ineffective?
Yeah, he doesn't want to
take mass transit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have somebody who can give you a ride?
Yeah, if I had someone in the pickup truck, I'll sit in the friggin' back of the pickup truck.
Well, you don't need to do that. But do you have somebody who can give you a ride, Gary?
No. I'm beside myself, guys. I'm so sorry to say that, man.
No, listen. That's
well, we got to find a way to help.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what we can do and see if there's someone in your area who or some way to provide. Gary, where exactly? Where are you exactly right now?
We need a park. My house.
Okay.
We need a park, man.
All right.
You're near
a
park.
I got my ID, my medical card right here. I got everything. I'm ready to go. It's just look. I'm scared. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm thirsty. I just want to get this over with, man.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
If anything, I mean, and I know it hurts, but drink.
Yes.
I'm trying to drink water every day. I'm peeing like a racehorse, guys.
Well, you got that.
It hurts. Me talking to you now, it's just killing me.
Okay.
Talking.
All right.
Okay. Some people are texting in. They're saying that's wrong about ibuprofen.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, man. I never had this symptoms before in my life, fellas.
Okay. All right. Well, stay in touch with us, Gary. Okay.
And I'm thinking the world of you and your family and everyone there.
You too,
my
bud.
Family. Stay safe.
All right, we will. Thank you, Gary.
Adhere to all these messages that they're telling the public. Please stay away from people, places, and things. I love you to death, and thank you for helping me and being a part of my life and my family. I will never, ever let my family down.
All right, Gary. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Hang on. All right. You got it. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, the World Health Organization says here does not recommend against use of ibuprofen. So that's okay then.
All right.
There's a lot of information out there, and some of it is, you know, a little bit
it's
tentative information. They say, hey, hold off on this for a moment, and then they come back and say, wait, you can do this. But anyway, well, I'm glad we did a wellness check on you.
Yeah.
But he needs to get to. So, and a couple of texts came in that said that, you know, maybe it doesn't sound like coronavirus and that he should go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, because honestly, a lot of what he was saying is not linear to what we've heard about the symptoms of this, but it still doesn't sound good. So, obviously, but the one thing
we didn't know it was him at first.
No, I didn't. I thought it was somebody doing a Gary impression.
He really needs to go.
All right.
To
well,
a
he's
going to
get in touch with Casey, and we'll. I don't know if anybody can volunteer to maybe give him a ride or something.
Right.
That would be wonderful because we certainly don't want him getting on the
or at least any
mass transit, but we don't want him to stay at home and not get checked out.
What he needs to do is listen to what his doctor, the doctors that he is working with, will tell him to do because they may say, "Listen, what you have, what we're hearing."
Doesn't sound like he has one. He said he's waiting for them to call him back.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he has a doctor.
Yeah, he
right?
probably doesn't have a primary care physician, and he's following what is out there. But imagine they're probably inundated with requests.
Sure,
right
of
now.
Course, sure, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, at least I'm glad he got in touch with us, though, because
yes!
I didn't know. I just thought, you know, just wanted to see how Gary was doing, and sure enough, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, we have other business to handle, so we're going to do that very thing. We have our lesson question. Nick, have you been taking care of lesson questions this morning?
I have, yeah.
All right, why don't you ask us one, which, by the way, we're going to give away a digital download of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker for the correct answer. What is the question today, sir?
So Kevin Smith once walked out of a theater because he couldn't stand watching the whole movie. Which movie was it?
Okay, which movie did he walk out of? All right, Kevin Smith, 215-263-WMMR. I remember the answer, Nick, so we're good to go there. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. While you're calling, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what stories we get. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, former Patriots star Rob Gronkowski made his WWE debut on SmackDown on Friday night in front of an empty stadium. The larger-than-life Gronk brought the show during a raucous exhibition in which he demonstrated needlepoint.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now the 28-year-old Bachelor star Peter Weber is single again. He says he is accelerating plans to move out of his parents' house. Weber says he needs to stand on his own 2 feet and has decided to move into the guest house.
Hey!
And finally, Bella Hadid posting a semi-topless photo to Instagram in order to encourage people to stay home. Sister Gigi decided to do likewise, encouraging people to order delivery and takeout by showing a picture of her labia.
Hey. Oh,
and that's your Hollywood show.
All righty, let us see if we can get an answer to the question. Kevin Smith was on earlier, said he's only walked out of one movie ever. What movie was that? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Lenny, see if he knows. Hey, Lenny, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Lenny. All right, what movie did Kevin Smith walk out of?
That would be The Flintstones.
That is correct. Yeah! It was The Flintstones. Lenny, hang on. We are going to give you a digital download of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, the final film in the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. Available now digitally in HD and 4K Ultra HD and via Movies Anywhere. Available physically in 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and DVD on March 31st. This time for Music News.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Alrighty, got a few things to pass along to you, and we'll start with this since coronavirus is pretty much taking all the headlines, including in the music and, well, pretty much every world right now. Bon Jovi's co-founding keyboardist David Bryan on Saturday had posted a message on social media stating, "I just got my results back today and tested positive for coronavirus. I've been sick for a week and feeling better each day. Please don't be afraid. I've been quarantined for a week and will for another week. And when I feel better, I'll get tested again. Just want to make sure I'm free of this nasty virus."
Yes.
"Please help out each other. This will be over soon with the help of every American." So he is doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's moving along. Former Oasis singer Liam Gallagher took to Twitter on Thursday in an attempt to get his estranged brother, Noel, to reunite the band for a one-off charity event once the coronavirus threat has ended.
How'd that work out?
Liam wrote, "Listen, seriously, a lot of people think I'm a C-word, and I am a good-looking C-word, but once this is put to bed, we need to get Oasis back for a one-off gig right for charity. Come on, Noel. We can then go back to our amazing solo careers. Come on, you know?" The Manchester band famously split in August 2009 after Noel had walked out following a physical altercation backstage just before a gig in Paris. The two brothers have not spoken since and have pursued separate medical endeavors. Liam posted another tweet in which he had asked the Smiths to reunite as well.
Wow.
He said, "All these miserable effing C-words in bands who think that they're too cool for school. The Jam, come on. Weller, the Smiths, come on. Mar, our kid, Oasis, come on."
Well, he's using the right approach by calling them C-words.
"Noel, what a gig. Oh, and the cheeky girls of what an effing lineup. Come on, you know.
You know, come someone on, was drinking. Know. Someone was drinking."
But the C-word is thrown around in England a lot
more.
Yes. But yeah, so I think it's cool that he's reaching out and wanting to do it.
Let's we'll make see if it happens. This time the time that we make the C-word acceptable for broadcast radio.
I'd love to do that. The Killers have unveiled a new video for their latest single, Caution, that also serves as a preview for a forthcoming short film tied to the band's upcoming album, Imploding the Mirage. The clip was directed by Sing Lee and finds the Killers dressed up in sharp 60s outfits and performing at a teen dance. According to a press release, this is the first glimpse of a longer film the band has made with its director. The footage opens on two older cast members, seemingly a couple, being cast for a role in a production. Meanwhile, we see two teens flirting across different backdrops in their suburban town. Eventually, they wind up at a high school dance where the Killers are, the live band, and, of course, playing Caution. Imploding the Mirage, the Killers' sixth album, is due out on the 29th. They had an extensive world tour that was going to hit North America in late summer, but the ticket sales have been postponed. Korn has shared a new video for the song Can You Hear Me, which is taken from the group's 2019 album Nothing, The Nothing. The clip shows a person in a hoodie oozing some kind of viscous liquid as they stare at a wall of TV screens and a phone.
Did this really happen?
I don't know. The person whose face reflects the images on the screens leaves comments, some positive, some negative, until a bleak ending.
Sounds like a real pick-me-up.
Doesn't it, though? A previous clip.
While you're holed up at home, why don't you watch this?
For the song dubbed the official visualizer, paired the tune with the visuals of a commune leader and lots of blood. The Nothing, which came out last September, is Korn's 13th studio album.
Or make a jigsaw puzzle.
And then one last thing, speaking of that,
yeah.
What's Paul McCartney up to?
What the hell is he up to?
His downtime.
Come on, you C-word.
Well, he puts down horseback riding and TV as his main ways to relax these days.
That's what I do.
During his monthly Q&A with fans dubbed You Gave Me the Answer, in which McCartney answers questions on his website.
Right.
He was asked about how he unwinds, explaining horse riding is one of my favorite ways to relax. I have a farm in the country where I love to ride.
I'd like to answer this question from C. Foster. I would throw the puzzle out.
He said, I can go out for about 2 hours and trek around. It's a big farm with some fabulous trails, a lot of which I made. It used to be my hobby when I had time on my hands. I would go out into the forest, take my Land Rover, and then pull my chainsaw out and clear some paths, normally following animal paths like deer. I don't see Paul whipping out the chainsaw.
It's my chainsaw.
And ripping through trees, yeah. But apparently he did. He said, or some tracks have been made by forestry workers years before when they had overgrown. So
sometimes I start fires and I shoot my bazooka.
He said, I make them into horse trails. He said, I also just love watching television. I'm a big TV watcher, and I know a lot of people watch series on iPads. I'm not so big into that. I prefer just easy television. And my wife, Nancy, makes fun of me for it. Nancy calls it Paul Will Watch Anything Department. And she's right. In America, I watch the infomercials. I end up watching something you wouldn't imagine I watch. I have to resist buying everything. I need a can of that. DD7. He says there's some stuff called DD7.
Oh, yeah.
And it cleans everything. And I need some of that.
Imagine if you're Paul McCartney and you say, give me $100,000 worth.
Yeah, and Nancy will say, are you sure? You know, I've been thinking all day, either in the studio or in the office. Meeting with you guys, he said, doing things like answering questions, having meetings about this and that. So I get home and just flop, turn on the TV, and flick around.
Flop and flicker.
Yeah,
that's me, old flopping and flicker.
That's kind of how I watch TV as well. All right, and there you go. That's music news for you. We have one more thing to do before we wrap up this break.
It's time for Preston and Steve's Daily Rush Madness.
All right, one more matchup to highlight for the day, and you can vote at WMMR.com. The two that are in this region of Gadzooks region, by the way, that's where we are in this part of the bracket. The two videos are E.T., the Entertainment Reporter, a number 3 seed, against the Visco Girls, seeded number 14. Here's a clip from the E.T., Entertainment Reporter, Daily Rush video. Ryan Seacrest was put on the spot by an E.T. reporter who brought up the subject.
Do you think that Courtney is going to leave the show, keeping up with the Kardashians?
Seacrest seemed taken aback.
Why? Because I'm from another planet? Are you a xenophobe?
But then said, well, if the cameras go away, as long as they can come back, Courtney.
I can make things levitate. Just thought I'd throw that in here.
All right, so that video goes up against the Visco Girls, and here is the clip from that one. Here we go. Apparently, they go around going.
Wait, like okay, that. Okay.
So sort of crickets.
It's a Visco.
So what is it?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out.
In school, we had Crisco Girls. We had a lot of fried chicken.
Yeah.
Sure. Crisco Girl.
They would bring fried chicken to school.
Yeah,
and they would see if they would go.
That's Crisco Girl.
It's them eating the skin off of the chicken. All right. And those two videos are up to battle each other. You get to determine. You got 24 hours. We have 5 different video matchups today in Daily Rush Madness. So when you get a chance, please go and vote. We do appreciate that. All right. We have one more break to take. We're going to do that. Come back in just a moment. And when we return, we should have Pierre here in the studio. And we'll get our Letter of the Day for Award or Week Prize and see what he has in store. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
Dirty Honey. Ozzy Osbourne. The Black Keys.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
That scratching noise in the background that you hear is Nick McElwain.
He's trapped in the wall.
He's trapped inside one of the walls here. What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. That's the weird part. Like, I swear to God, I'm sitting here the whole time. I'm not eating. I'm not doing anything to annoy you guys. I'm sitting perfectly still.
But yet you still
room.
Are.
Somehow I'm finding ways to annoy you.
We'll tweak that. This is all part of the process of seeing in case we are reduced to in separate locations to see what works.
Play your strengths, guys.
Got to play your strengths.
Annoying everybody. That's what I do.
We'll get to the bottom. What I'm very happy about, Nick, is there is literally no delay.
Yes. Well, that's really cool. And Steve, we talked about it earlier. It's the Comrex Field Tap app. We put it on the iPad. We plugged the headphones in, and here we are having a conversation. It's really cool.
It is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And we're going to have Kathy at her domicile tomorrow.
Yes.
Broadcasting, bringing us not the traffic report.
From her hot tub, right? That's what we've understood?
Yes. When I go in my hot tub, I usually don't wear anything. So I'll be naked in my hot tub tomorrow.
Right. That'd be, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Pierre Robert.
And good morning to you guys.
Real quick, I want to thank our guests for being on the show. Stephanie Arc-Bynes, who is from Philabundance. Philabundance is helping people. It's what they do, and they continue to do that during these lockdown issues that we're having right now. And they actually are a little bit short-staffed. They need people who can help deliver. And if you are looking for something to do, please keep in mind they take the proper precautions, and you can to whatever level you feel comfortable with, and actually any guidelines. You can go above and beyond if you want to. But contact them at Philabundance, because there are people that need some assistance in this time.
Yes.
And they're there to help. And we also spoke to Kevin Smith.
Hey!
Kevin Smith is just a friend that we felt like talking to, and he's going to use this extra time right now in lockdown. He says he's used to being at home anyway. He's a homebody, doesn't do anything. But he's going to write more movies, another Clerks movie, who knows what.
So we're going to, check in with people and some friends and see who's out there. If you know of anybody that, you think that we should contact to talk to, we will do that. But we will get through this together. And at the end of it, hopefully they'll remember that we put them on.
Somebody says it sounds like Nick is a Foley artist.
It really does.
Working on the sound of putting pencil to paper. Says it does sound like that. It's like very
dear diary
writing. That's it. Keep it right there.
I am here at home broadcasting.
Nick, can you make that sound on purpose or no?
Just talking sound or the
bang your head on the wall?
No, what we're hearing, that kind of scratching noise.
This? Dear diary, I want to tell Kathy so many things. Now do a horse clopping.
Wow.
We got a little bit of echo in the room. Oh my God.
There you go.
Wow. All right. So anyhow, thanks to those guys for being on the show. How was your weekend, Pierre?
Well, it was interesting. A friend of mine had suggested three of us gather in the park on Rittenhouse Square, but for a, quote, distance drinking party.
Ah.
And the idea was that each of us would bring our own beverages and snacks and sit 6 feet across from each other and have a beverage. And we did that. And it was kind of fun. We only did it for about an hour or so and watched the sun go down and then went home.
So. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you maintain proper distance, again, that's what people are looking to do and follow certain protocols. That's the key. And again, everybody you hear who talks about this says this will be one with hand cleaning and distancing. And that's really it. And it's to stop that curve. It's really not the disease is obviously the issue at the core. But the real issue is stopping an onslaught of activity to the hospitals and overwhelming the medical system.
Right.
Yep. This will be handled. Coronavirus will be handled, and mitigated at some level. But right now, what you want is, that's why that flatten the curve, hashtag flatten the curve, is the big thing. That's the big concern. So, and I think we can do it.
Well, I mean, since then, I mean, on Sunday, I think the mayor even closed parks.
Yeah.
So I don't think even that is supposed to happen anymore. I mean, we were very safe in the way we approached this. But there's an eeriness about it, though. I mean, outside, even, I mean, today, Monday's a strange, you know, kind of day anyway. There is an eeriness out there.
That's a good word for it. I know what you mean. It's,
It's like we're in some desolate. Kind of strange movie or something.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's almost like when you, if you ever go out on Christmas morning, you know, that when everyone, it's just, it's that, right, that same level of quiet. So,
quiet, yes.
But I also saw another phrasing of it is I forget who said it. I want to give him credit, but I can't remember who said it first, but coming together by being apart. And that's what's happening right now. So we're all sort of at a collective effort, though we are having to be spaced away from each other. But as we were talking to Kevin Smith earlier, he's saying, you know, around where he is, he's seeing families out walking and keeping their distance. And actually, there's another level of communication that was perhaps getting lost in the sauce of general life that might be reintroduced. And maybe that's a plus of all this.
Right.
You know?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I do know that we need a letter from you.
Let's do that.
Let's do the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
H, as in hope.
All right, and we have five letters to put together. Make a word. On Friday, we'll give away a four-pack of tickets to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue, Citizens Bank Park, special guests Poison and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. On Saturday, August 15th, some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. So we're just getting started with that.
Just a quick thing, Preston. Yeah. Of course, the great Rodney Bird just, you know, why didn't we think about this? When Nick's not talking, he should simply mute his microphone.
Yeah, he could do that. I didn't even think about that. So, Nick, anytime.
Guess what?
What?
It was just muted for the last 2 minutes after I got Rodney's text, and I think that will help solve this massive problem.
Very good.
What is the problem exactly?
Well, it's just all like any external sounds are coming through in spades and are annoying. So if I'm not talking, you know, I can just hit mute, and then when I want to talk, I can unhit mute and communicate with you guys.
Hey, do me a favor, hit mute right now, and then like move around a little bit and see if we're still getting that sound. I don't hear anything. Wait, I heard something. Did you guys hear that?
A little bit.
That's a good idea.
He sounds like he's going through some kind of a voice box, though. He sounds computerized.
Well, he was doing a Frampton song earlier.
I don't.
Thank you.
I don't know if I hear it. That
it's
maybe
a little different. Yeah.
I'm back.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
It just sounds like his voice is being processed through some kind of strange computer.
A lot of people were saying that this morning, for whatever reason, I sounded like Mike Jarek from Fox 29. I don't hear it, but I don't
Nick,
know.
Nick, a couple people said that.
A lot of people were calling us that they'd been watching Fox and that they said Mike sounded like you, Nick. So it was a weird thing, a weird confluence.
High praise.
You actually sound, I think, you have a little bit more resonance in this hookup.
So shows from home from now on.
Yes, that's it, because you won't go crazy doing that.
Well, not at all.
Well, what's coming up on your show today, Mr. Robert?
We have Workforce Blocks, Evanescence, Robert Hazard, and there's another one. I can't remember what it was, but I wrote it down, but I didn't bring it in.
Okay.
But
it's written down somewhere.
It's written down somewhere. And
take comfort in that. If you look for sense of normalcy, this is Pierre, as yes. Pierre is. Yes. It is written down somewhere. He knows it exists.
I know.
And there we go.
That there'll be a block. I just can't remember what it is.
Understood.
So as soon as I find out, you, dear citizens, will be the first to know.
I love it. All right. Well, let me take a moment. Thanks, sponsor of the Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme Fresh Foods, local flavor of the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and WSFS Bank. WSFS. Where we stand for service. All right. Tomorrow on the program, comedian Tom Segura.
Ooh-hoo!
We are going to speak to him, and I'm sure we'll find some other things to entertain ourselves and you. And we'll do that very thing. In the meantime, Pierre Robert is up next. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.